is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! And a great run. He's in trouble. He is dropped. Kyle Williams dropped it. Oh, baby, what a hit. Tyrod looks. Tyrod on the run. It's nobody in front of him. Touchdown! There's T-Mobile.
He's going to come through.
Sammy in the end zone. Got it! Got it! Touchdown! Sammy Watkins. Touchdown, Buffalo! McCoy, touch to the right. Outrunning everybody. 10, 5. Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
Good afternoon and welcome to a new week and another busy week here at One Bills Drive, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. John Murphy alongside my broadcast partner, Donald Jones. You have a good weekend, Donald?
I had an interesting weekend, I'll just say that.
Well, that just opens up the door to... Was it good?
It was good. I had to go back home and I'm moving, so...
Okay.
You know, trying to pack up everything when you're really not getting help from other people.
Oh, you come back here with a beef about something. That's good.
You know, so it was interesting to say the least.
Try not to take it out on the listeners today, if you would.
You know, you're right. But I also got to watch, you know, you've been trying to sell everybody around here on this Michigan team.
I don't have to sell anybody anything, man.
You know,
there they are.
Well, you know, so Michigan obviously won the entire thing yesterday. The question is, because they've, played four games in 4 days or something like that? Can they now go on a run and win the entire thing?
I have a friend who's a very highly respected basketball coach locally, college coach, who immediately after that game said, they might just win it all the way they're playing. So I'm not getting my hopes up. Look, they're a seven seed Michigan is for a reason. They're not a complete team, but they're hot right now, playing as well as anybody in the country. So
right.
I'm excited about the tournament here in Buffalo. Looking forward to going. I'm going to leave you alone here Thursday.
Yeah.
Enjoy some basketball. Are you okay with that?
No, I'm fine with that. And it was crazy because on my Twitter feed, I see people just talking about Michigan. And I'm like, okay, we're in Buffalo. So I'd expect people to be talking about Syracuse, which people were upset that Syracuse didn't get the invite to the tournament. But, you know, as soon as you hear that, it goes right on to, but Michigan is playing in the tournament.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, I think my friend John Beilein, local guy, has some impact on that. But I think Michigan, because of the plane incident last Wednesday, I think they were like the national story, the feel-good story going into the tournament.
Right, and okay.
Guys like Jim Nantz will play that up.
Do they need another plane incident?
No, that was serious. No, I mean, people are onto them now, and they had a great weekend and four wins in 4 days, and it's a good story. I mean, let's face it, it's a pretty good story.
It's a good story.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about the tournament as the week goes along, but it's not like we don't have anything to talk about here at One Bills Drive, because the Bills continue to make moves over the weekend, right? Your Twitter feed must have been filled up with that, some of the Bills' moves, right?
Yeah, I mean, the Twitter feed, the alerts, everything. I get everything to my phone. So, yeah, I mean, I think the Bills right now are making smart moves. They're not making the big splashy moves like everybody wants. And to be quite honest, I don't know if you're going to see that out of this coach. You know, everything that he does this year, next year in free agency is always going to be about the smart move for the team and not the big splashy move what everybody wants.
Well, and that gets us really to where we want to be with the Twitter poll today. And the Bills now, the free agency opened on Thursday. The Bills got busy signing Mike Tolbert on Wednesday. So we are 4 or 5 days into free agency now. And we want to hear from you as free agency moves along. How do you think it's gone so far for the Buffalo Bills? What do you think? The phone lines are open, as always, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Or you can join us via Twitter and let us know your thoughts on Twitter. And with a number of signings, a half a dozen signings, including Tolbert so far, want to hear from you what your grade is for the Bills' free agent moves so far. And that's our Twitter poll today. Grade the Bills' free agent moves so far to date, you know, through since Thursday. And right now we've got 470 votes in, and 54% of you, I think that's pretty fair, say 55% of you say it's a B. Give the Bills a B. 30% of you say a C grade. 8% say give them an A. 7% say give them a D. It's, you know, a pretty basic Twitter poll, but I think it's worth. I think I would vote B also, Donald. Look, we knew going in they wouldn't have a lot of money to spend, but I think they've kind of made the best of it, including a move today we're going to talk about in a second here. And I think they've made some, as Doug Whaley has shown us, some targeted free agent moves, including the move today. And they've got some visits today. We'll talk about that in a second. I think they've kind of targeted what they want to do and gone about going, you know, doing their business. I think they've come up with some good players who fill some needs.
See, I look at it with the money that they had You know, I think this has been a good free agency. I think they've done a pretty good job of looking at the needs and finding guys without having to spend a whole lot of money. Now, obviously, a guy like Micah Hyde, you had to spend some money, but it's not like you overpaid him by crazy amounts of money. You know, I feel like that was a great signing because of how versatile he is. Even with Poyer, is the same thing, a great signing. You didn't have to pay him, but you need safeties, you know, and you probably end up still bringing one in through the draft. But I feel like everything that they've done thus far has been smart. They haven't gone out and spent a lot of money, and they really can't spend a lot of money. So the people that they're bringing in are good guys at the right price.
Let's talk about what's gone on here over the weekend. Starting with today, the Bills agreeing to terms with a defensive end. Ryan Davis, a defensive end, spent last season with the Dallas Cowboys. Ryan Davis, 6'2", 260-pounder from Bethune-Cookman, came into the NFL as an undrafted free agent with the Jacksonville Jaguars in 2012. Five seasons in the NFL, 47 games played, 30 tackles, 11 sacks, and a number of pretty good stats there. Ryan Davis, in a part-time role with the Dallas Cowboys last year, 28 years of age, known as kind of an edge-setting run defender. First 4 years in Jacksonville and then to the Dallas Cowboys. In 2014, his best year in the league, 19 tackles, 6.5 tacks. Ryan Davis signs on with the Buffalo Bills today. Any thoughts on that?
Well, you know, he's coming from Dallas, where they had a pretty good defense. He was a good part of that. I have to do some more research on him. But, you know, when you look at this defense, you look at the defensive line, obviously you know you have Marcel, you know you have Kyle coming back, you know you have guys on the, you know, on the edge, but you need depth, you know, and you always need depth at every position, right? So I think, once again, you're being smart about the guys that you're bringing in. You're being smart about the money that you're spending. You're not going out here trying to make the big splash moves.
So that move today, Ryan Davis, three free agents on a visit with the Buffalo Bills today. Let's talk about them. Wide receiver Jeremy Butler is visiting the Buffalo Bills today, an untendered restricted free agent of the Los Angeles Chargers. So he became an unrestricted free agent last week. He has played just 12 games in his NFL career, four with the Chargers last year, spent some time with the Jets last season. Jeremy Butler played in 8 games for the Ravens in 2015, played his college football at the University of Tennessee, Martin, and wide receiver Jeremy Butler in for a visit with the Bills today. Offensive lineman, tackle Andre Smith, former first-round pick of the Bengals back in 2009, 7 seasons in Cincinnati, a starter at right tackle for 6 consecutive years, helped the Bengals win 3 division titles over that span, 6'4", 325-pounder. Very interesting. Spent last year with Minnesota, torn triceps, put him on injured reserve last year. Andre Smith, you would think, if he signs, and he's in for a visit, if he signs, he would become a pretty strong candidate for the vacancy at right tackle, Donald.
Yeah, I mean, I remember him when he came in this league. He was, like, the best tackle coming out that year, and he's been a starter in Cincinnati for a while, and then obviously he went on to the Vikings. But, you know, I think he would be a very strong candidate for that right tackle position. It'll be interesting. I think it'll be a battle in camp between him and Jordan Mills, right?
Yeah, Jordan Mills, we're going to get to that. That was weekend news. He was re-signed to a contract over the weekend. Also, linebacker Jayron Elliott in for a visit today, another untendered restricted free agent, so he's out of the market. Strong side linebacker, 38 career games for Green Bay over 3 seasons. Yeah, you mentioned over the weekend the Bills made moves on Saturday, and as I said, it was kind of busy around here all weekend long. On Saturday, Jordan Mills agreed to terms with the Bills on a new contract. He's been around for the last 2 seasons, started 16 games at right tackle for the Bills last year. Earlier Saturday, the Bills agreed to terms with one of our favorites on the show here, Lorenzo Alexander. We're going to talk with him in a couple of minutes. Zoe is back, Pro Bowl, the MVP of the Pro Bowl. He's coming back. He'll be live with us in a minute or two. Corey Brown, wide receiver, wants to be known as Corey Brown, an Ohio State product, signed with the Bills yesterday, an undrafted free agent in 2014 with the Carolina Panthers. Mm-hmm. Corey Brown, 3 seasons there, played in 43 career games, starting 22, 79 passes, 7 of them for touchdowns. Corey Brown signs a deal with the Buffalo Bills over the weekend. So let's get your thoughts on some of these, Donald. We talked about Jordan Mills. What about Lorenzo Alexander coming back?
I think Lorenzo, we've talked about it. You know, Lorenzo's really going to be helpful at the rush edge position. So I guess defensive end. He's also going to be helpful in the special teams. We know that's where he is really, really good in the special teams. I think he's going to really be a situational guy and a guy that you can really rotate in and out with Shaq and with Jerry on the other side. Lorenzo will come in and give you some sacks. Hopefully he can have the same – well, not if not the same season, a better season than he had last year. That's what we all want, right? But I think most importantly, he brings that leadership that they need in this locker room. And I think that's something that Coach Sean McDermott looked at when talking about getting Kyle to come back and talking about bringing a guy like Lorenzo back. You need leadership on both sides of the ball. And those two guys are the leaders, especially on the defensive side.
And Corey Brown, Philly Brown, he used to be known as. What do you think, Donald? Where does he fit into this Bills roster?
I look at him as a number three or number four wide receiver. I think he's a guy who, first of all, he's not the fastest guy. So if you watch the highlights, you're not going to see him just blow past people. What you do see him is, you know, running his routes. You see him, really work in the middle of the field in that slot type of position. And that's where I look at him playing, you know, being on the inside, running that slot position. And I guess he would be another guy who can help out in the special teams for you. So I think he's a solid three or four wide receiver, but he's a solid player, though.
I think so. You know, I was telling you and a couple of people, my impressions of Corey Brown come mostly from exposure to him in preseason, and the Bills have had preseason games against Carolina over the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. And I was always impressed with him as a slot guy, as you said, and a guy with I don't even know what his 40 time is, but he always impressed me as pretty good speed guy. Mm-hmm. Not great size, 5'11", 190 pounds, but I could see him as a three here, right? I mean, pretty much a solid, reliable number three. Maybe not the burning speed of a Marquise Goodwin, but certainly
right.
Speed to make a difference there, I would think, huh?
I mean, I think he has enough speed to make a difference, especially in the middle of the field. But here's the thing, are you available? And when you look at his stats, he's been available for the Panthers. And that's the most important thing. That was the issue that this team had last year with the wide receiver position. You didn't have anybody available.
Right.
So this guy's been a guy who can stay on the field, and if he can do that here, he's a guy that you can really count on week in and week out. A
lot to talk about with the Bills free agents, getting to know some of the new guys and maybe some of the guys in for visits. We will discuss it all afternoon long. Vladimir Dukas scheduled to join us a little bit later on in the show. We'll pick up news conferences with Vladimir Dukas and Ryan Davis, the defensive end. That'll come up later in the 2 o'clock hour. Going to talk with Matt Bowen, former Bills safety, about some of the Bills moves and some of the league-wide moves coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. But joining us now via Skype is a good friend of the show. Very happy to have him back on the Buffalo Bills roster. He agreed to terms with the Bills this past Saturday, just 2 days ago. Happy to have Lorenzo Alexander back with us for a special free agency edition of The Lowdown. Lorenzo, it's John and Donald. Thanks very much for coming on with us here today.
Hey, I'm doing pretty good, fellas. Appreciate you having me on.
Congratulations on the deal. Tell me how this all went down.
At one free agency hit, was in negotiations with Jim for, two or three days. After going back and forth, came to an agreement that was great for both parties and signed the deal. Very happy. Me and my family excited about coming back to Buffalo. Really fell in love with the city and the fans there, the community, as well as all the relationships we built in that building. Obviously, guys like yourself and Donald. Great to be back, and can't wait to be able to do the lowdown on Fridays with you guys again this year.
Yeah, speaking of the lowdown, did you get my tweet after it was announced?
I did not get your tweet. What did you say? Sometimes I just ignore you because you say some crazy stuff to me.
All I said was that, now I get to message you on set again, man. It wasn't nothing crazy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. I didn't see it. Yeah, but yeah, I know me and you take shots at each other from time to time. So sometimes I just kind of shy away from you.
Hey, Lorenzo, everything you accomplished last year, including the Pro Bowl, including MVP in the Pro Bowl, how much did you approach this free agency period as like, this is it. Now it's my chance to make a big mark contractually and to quite frankly, maybe sign your last contract in the NFL and go out strong financially.
Right. Obviously that was the plan to be able to do that, to be able to maximize this last deal, being 34 next year when the season starts. I know my numbers are days and my numbers are limited in this league. And I definitely want to try to get the best deal for myself. Was able to do that with Buffalo. And me and my family will be taken care of. So, obviously, this is I look at it as a great starting point, vantage point, because nobody at the age of, starting back at 22 to this time makes this type of money on the average. So, this is just a great head start for me and my family, and I'll continue to work when I'm done. But definitely pleased what I was able to get out of it money-wise, guaranteed money, and The biggest thing, though, was Sean McDermott and the whole defensive staff, belief in my ability to come in, contribute on defense, and continue my role in the locker room. So that's what I'm most excited about, and be able to play ball next year and get us off this playoffs night and be able to make the playoffs this year and play for a championship.
Now, I know you and Kyle are good friends. Your families are good friends with each other. Did he have to sell you to come back?
Did Kyle have to sell me? No, not at all. I was trying to sell him to make sure he came back so that I could sign back a lot easier, man. I needed another person in that locker room that I could relate to. You know, obviously, we're probably the two oldest guys as a roster right now as it stands. So to be able to have somebody I can lean on during those times, obviously helped me with the young guys as well and approach it from different angles, was definitely a huge upside for me signing back, and especially signing Ty Rod back as well. Definitely gives us a chance to win and compete for the division and hopefully find ourselves in the playoffs at the end of this year.
With Lorenzo Alexander just re-signed a contract with the Buffalo Bills, an unrestricted free agent returning to the Buffalo Bills. He's live with us via Skype. Lorenzo, I'm going to give you an opportunity here. You've mentioned a couple times about coming back to Buffalo and what that means for you, especially with a foot of snow bearing down on us for the next few days here. So I don't want to dwell on this because, you know, there's a lot of back padding that goes around here around Western New York, which is fine. But give me a sense of what you picked up in your one season with the Bills that makes you think this is the right place for you and your family.
I mean, well, the community itself, I mean, it was really opening, welcoming, you know, being married and having four kids, three that live with us up there. I mean, it's just a real down to earth, blue collar city. Very passionate fan base, and I really loved it. You know, be able to take my kids out to the Orchard Park there and hang out and play soccer and be integrated into the community at the local YMCA there was huge because obviously I need to be happy, but if my wife and kids aren't happy, it's hard to go out there and be successful on the field. So my kids were actually more excited than me coming back because they really love the community. They love their school. So that was really made it easy for me to sign back. And, you know, just – as far as playing football, we have the talent on the roster. We had it last year, just wasn't able to put it together. So hopefully under the new leadership of Sean McDermott, I know that we'll be able to get it right. And like I've been saying all offseason, I will definitely be taking a bigger role at being more vocal, more upfront and in people's face as far as making sure that we're moving in the right direction. Because I only have a couple of years left and I don't want to leave out any regrets and say, well, maybe I should have said a little bit more. I'm going to leave it all out there in the locker room and on the field.
Zoe, have you had a chance to look at any of the rest of the Bills free agent signings?
Well, obviously I saw Tyrod, I saw Jordan Mills, I saw, we signed also Micah Hyde from Green Bay, mm-hmm. And a couple of other guys. Obviously I've seen Micah play. I know he's a very versatile player and can get it done. Glad that we have Jordan Mills back as well to kind of solidify that offensive line and compete there and make that job a lot better because he was a part of that number one rushing attack last year. And then obviously Tyrod. Definitely gives us the best chance to win. It's going to continue to grow in his third year being our leader at the quarterback position. So I'm excited. Get guys back, get healthy, seeing what Sammy's able to do, getting healthy. So I'm very excited about moving forward and seeing who else we decide to bring in as things continue to move here in free agency.
Lorenzo, you mentioned about being more vocal. I wonder, did Coach McDermott maybe ask you to do that or to assume that role you had conversations with him?
No, not at all. I mean, I think that was part of my self-evaluation at the end of the year, just kind of looking back and to see where could I make more of an impact? Where could I have done more? And I'm good at building relationships with guys and kind of talking to them on the side. But sometimes I would see things in meetings or on the field or whatever and didn't necessarily nip it in the bud right then and there. I kind of waited. So I definitely want to be take more of an initiative in that aspect as far as just speaking up as soon as I see it. Cut it out, and then let's move forward and get better so that we can win more games.
You know, it's interesting to hear you say you want to be more vocal because it's really the same. Tyrod said the same thing to us last week that he wanted to be a lot more vocal. When you're a leader on a team, do you necessarily have to be vocal?
No, you don't. I mean, I think there's different ways about going about it. You know, particularly I'm more comfortable being a look at me type of guy. I'm going to be a professional each and every day. I'm going to show you how to work, show you how to study. Now I need you to kind of buy in and follow that. And not that I wasn't vocal last year as far as talking to guys on the side. I think just more in a team atmosphere and a team setting, speak up because I think my voice is a little bit louder this year. Obviously coming into any situation when you have guys like Kyle Williams that are already there, you don't want to come in and just kind of, this is my team, I'm going to step on people's toes. So I kind of felt my way through it. Saw my spots last year, but now coming back and already being a member of this team and understanding who guys are, where some of their strengths and weaknesses are, I can speak to them, I think, a little bit more easily. And they will respect and receive it more because they know what I put in day in, day in. And last year I had the production to kind of back it up. And with those two things coming together, I think it's a lot more well received from the organization and your teammates when you're speaking up and being vocal and getting people's faces.
We're live via Skype with Bills linebacker Lorenzo Alexander, who signed a new deal with the Bills. Lorenzo, this question, I mean, Donald and I talked about it a lot over the last couple of weeks, what your role might be in what is going to look like a different defense, we would think. What do you know about that, and how much did you discuss that with the coach?
Yeah, I've talked to Sean a lot about that. Obviously, we've got to know each other just a little bit as people. But as far as the scheme, I mean, he pretty much want to utilize me like they use Thomas Davis, you know, outside, sand back in the 4-3 system, a guy that will be on the line of scrimmage and under fronts, off the ball and over fronts, which I did last year towards the end of the year when we were kind of running a little bit more of Rob's defense there towards the end of the season. I was playing a lot of off the ball and then would walk up on the line as well. So I have some familiarity with it. I've played it in Washington as well when I was playing behind London Fletcher. And then on third downs, utilize me in various ways, being that joker, the spinner guy, where I'm sometimes blitzing, sometimes dropping. You know, we also had that speed package where I'm one of the inside tackles alongside Marcel or Kyle. And then when Shaq or Jerry decide that they're tired or have been rushing all day, I can come out there and spell them. So I'll definitely have a fluid role. It will change game to game. But I'm just interested in winning. You know, people ask me about the sack numbers. Can I reproduce it? At the end of the day, I don't care about that. Those are sexy numbers. That really at this point in my career is not going to do anything better for me. I'm all about winning and trying to get to the playoffs and getting a championship. And if that means playing off the ball and allowing Shaq and Jerry to get 100% of the rushes, I'm okay with that because at the end of the day, you really remember it in this league from a football standpoint as far as going to the playoffs and ultimately winning championships.
You just described about six different jobs for yourself there, Lorenzo.
Yeah, you did.
You got a full plate.
It's definitely not what
that's what I've been doing my whole career. You know, and I haven't even mentioned special teams yet.
Yeah, that was my next question. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll still be covering kicks, punt, kickoff, and as well probably on punt return. I don't see why I should take a step back in that role because I do help the team there in a big way as well. So definitely looking to kind of have the same role I did pretty much last year, be used in a lot of different ways and really having a big impact on the field in different phases. So I'm excited about that to kind of continue to show people that that I'm more than just a linebacker or inside backer or a special teams guy. I'm a football player, and that's what I want to be known as.
You and James Harrison must be on the same workout and diet plan, man. What's going on? The older y'all get, like the more you playing.
Yeah, I mean, it just comes to, you know, taking care of your body, doing all the right things in the offseason. You know, I posted a picture the other day. I'm pretty much you saw that six pack that I was rocking.
Man,
after that whole thing, I didn't see you compliment me on that. You know, you always trying to tear me down, but you don't want to ever build a brother up. But
I mean, you know, you had the six pack.
Look, you gave me love, but you know, like I was saying, it's all about being a pro. You know, guys that maintain and stay in this league over a long time, do all the right things every single day, even in the off season. I learned that from London Fletcher. I see guys like Kyle Williams. Tyrod doing it, guys like that that I've learned from and picked up little things here and there from throughout my career to help me maintain my health and longevity, you know, playing this hardcore, hard-nosed football game.
You definitely had the six-pack. I give you that. I did see like a half of a love handle or two, though.
Okay, that's all right, baby. I used to be 315. What's your excuse?
What's my excuse?
Hey, Lorenzo, as you can tell, we're excited here on the show to get you back here and do the lowdown, and we're happy to work that out. And you'll be back here in a couple of weeks now, 3 or 4 weeks, right, for the first off-season workout sessions.
Yeah, I'll be there for the offseason training and stuff. So I'm excited to get back, learn this defense, and you know, start moving forward and start doing some more football.
Great to have you here. Congratulations. We're really excited to have you back, Lorenzo. Thank you very much.
I appreciate you guys.
Hey, before we let you go, though, you have a bowling event coming up?
Yeah, my bowling event is March 18th. It's actually in Oakland, California, to raise money for my Aces Foundation. You know, you can go to LorenzoAlexander.org if you want to donate there. Obviously, people in New York can't come out to it, but definitely plan to be more present in the community. I did a lot of stuff last year, but I definitely want to bring more of my Aces Foundation and a lot more of my mission work to the Buffalo area and help out the families and the children there as well. So definitely look for me to be out more in the community this year.
I like that. Lorenzo, thanks very much. We appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys.
Lorenzo Alexander, Buffalo Bills linebacker, joining us via Skype as he agreed to terms on a new contract just a couple of days ago. big asset for the TV show, radio show, Donald. But when he's
is it in his contract as well?
No, not like Tyrod. But they don't make decisions based on what we need on our show. When he went into a description of all the various roles he could play, it all kind of makes sense, didn't it? I mean, a little bit or no?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like he's going to play everything.
Yeah,
the entire defense. You see him out there at safety or something like that. I don't know, but it's so interesting when you have a guy like this, or you see a guy like James Harrison, or the rest of these guys around the league that are, like, really getting up there in age, and they're still playing so much, and they're playing, helping out on special teams, but still playing defense or still playing offense. It really goes to show how much of a pro and how well they take care of their bodies, not just in the season, but in the offseason to prepare for the season.
And you know what else? This goes to, you know, the dreaded culture word, but in an effort to build a new culture here, I think Lorenzo Alexander is probably a pretty important piece.
Yeah.
And the folks in this building, even under an old coaching regime, got a chance to see with their own eyes last week the way he works, the conditioning aspect you talk about, and the leadership that he demonstrates. As he said, he's going to be even more of a vocal leader. Remember the last I got to get to a break here, but remember, I think it was one of the last weeks when he talked about guys eating in meeting rooms and falling asleep in meeting rooms. Sounds to me like Lorenzo has made up his mind that that's not going to stand this year. That he's going to call people out.
You know
out
what?
For that.
Coach Sean McDermott can come in and he can say, listen, we want to instill this culture in this entire building. And that's all good and dandy, but you need leaders on the team because, you know, you have so many young guys on the team. You need guys that are on the team actually playing in the locker room with these guys on the field every single day to instill that in those younger guys so that it really trickles down all the way, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing for the coach to say it, but he needs to lean on Lorenzo and Tyrod. Tyrod wants to be more of a leader. All right, so we got a lot to talk about today. As you heard, Lorenzo Alexander is back. We got a lot more coming up on the show, including Matt Bowen to talk about some of the signings around the league and including Buffalo, the former Bills safety who writes for ESPN.com. We expect to have Vladimir Dukas on the show with us tonight. What do you call him? Dookie? Your
Big
buddy Dookie. He's coming in at some point in the 1 o'clock hour. We'll hear from the podium in the 2 o'clock hour, Vladimir Dukas and the new guy, Ryan Davis. And we want to hear from you. You can ring us up. The phone line's open right now at 803-0550 or toll-free at 1-888-550-2550 or via Twitter. Our Twitter poll is up. I want you to grade the Bills' free agent moves so far. We've got 635 votes in on our Twitter poll. How would you? What kind of a letter grade would you give the Bills for their free agent move so far? 54% of you say give them an A. 32% say give them a C. 7% say A. 7% say D. Let's talk about it with the phone lines open when we come back. 803-0550. Toll free 1-888-552-550. Just getting started. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
We are back. Welcome back, John Murphy, Donald Jones. We're coming to you live from One Bills Drive in our One Buffalo studio. Thanks to those of you who join us via, I was going to say Skype. Lorenzo joined us via Skype. Those of you watching on the MSG, those of you tuned in on.
Are people watching us on Skype?
I guess you. I don't know if you can. I don't know how that works.
No.
You can watch us on MSG. You can listen to us on the flagship here in Buffalo, and you can call us up. The lines are open, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Before we get back into our free agency theme, things have picked up around here, and we are now just, what, a month maybe away from 5 weeks at least from the release of the NFL schedule. And once again, BuffaloBills.com has launched its very popular schedule challenge, a number of questions they have online to ask you what you think the schedule might look like. The schedule challenge is up right now at BuffaloBills.com. I took it today. I don't think I'm eligible to win, but you can go to BuffaloBills.com. Answer questions, a short quiz about the Bills' 2017 schedule, how you think it might play out. Great prizes for selected winners. Two club seat season tickets available. That's the number one prize. Two on-field passes for the home opener. One autographed helmet. Every question you answer correctly counts as an entry. You can log on right now at BuffaloBills.com to the Schedule Challenge. It's presented by Ellicott Hotels, and it's pretty fun. Donald, you got to try it. And, you know, they ask you things like, who are the Bills going to open with? Are they going to open at home or on the road? What's the first AFC East opponent they'll face? What's the first NFC South opponent they'll face? Who knows, right? But you start to think about, you know, how the schedule might lay out, and then it gives you all even more reason to be excited when the schedule comes out.
Wow. So who would they open with?
Well, you don't have to answer now. Give it some thought.
I'll do that.
How many primetime games? All that stuff, yeah.
Well, we know we're going to have a Thursday night game.
Right, right.
Do you get a Monday night game or something?
That's the question. You got to go. BuffaloBills.com. The schedule challenge is up right now, and you'll have a couple of weeks. I don't know when it ends, but a couple of weeks at least to play the schedule challenge. We're talking about free agency. Want to hear from you. The phone line's open, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-552-550. How do you think the Bills have done so far in free agency? What kind of a grade would you give them? That is our Twitter poll. I'd said earlier, 5 or 6. Let me do the math here. Micah Hyde, Patrick DeMarco. I won't count the re-signed guys. Mike Tolbert, Ryan Davis today, Corey Brown, Jordan Poyer, Steven Hauschka, Vladimir Dukas. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We'll count Tolbert, 6. He wasn't UFA. 7, 8 free agents signed since last Thursday by the Buffalo Bills.
And
now, that's
not
active.
These are not our own guys.
Not counting Lorenzo Alexander re-signed, not counting Jordan Mills re-signed, not counting, obviously, Tyrod Taylor on a restructured deal.
And Mike Ilesleone is. And Groy, I mean, they were unrestricted, but.
Yeah,
I mean,
they've been tendered offers.
But they were tenders, but they, I mean.
No signs yet. But the thing is, this Bills team has been active. You might not like the signings. They might not be signing the kind of splash players that you might have been looking for. But, man, they've gotten a lot more done, Donald, than I thought they would be able to, given their cap constraints.
You know, I think. First of all, some people forget how many holes are really on this team, you know. So, like, you needed depth at a lot of different positions, and you needed to get some talent at a lot of different positions. People look at the wide receiver and the safety position and say, that's where we need to go in free agency. But there were a lot more holes on this team than just safety and wide receiver. And I think, like we said, they've been smart in the people that they've brought in. They haven't had to spend that big money. We all know the draft is very heavy in DBs, corners and safeties. It's very heavy. It's some good pass rushers in this draft as well, and the wide receiver position, you know. And so when you look at free agency, they're bringing in guys who they feel like, you know, we can fill this position in free agency. We can get some depth in free agency. We don't have to spend that big money, and then we can go to the draft with our 6 picks. And draft the right way, get the positions, wide receiver, probably another safety, corner, fill those positions with some young talent, and then you can move on. And that's where you start to build a foundation. You start to really build a team.
That's what's going on here now. A couple of tweets on this. Alex tweets in, I like the moves, and it seems like McDermott is getting what he wants, which I enjoy. Good starting and depth signings. Yeah, they've signed in free agency, bringing in from the outside at least one, Micah Hyde, you would almost pencil right in, and maybe more to come as far as starters. Bob Timchak tweets in, I really like what we've done given cap space. That's the way. That's where I'm at. Now to find some of those second-level gems, which I think they're into right now. Dan Werfert tweets in, I still say to fully transition the organization, Russ needs to go. He was a key player in the failure, and Russ rewarded for it. Dan, with
people
all due respect,
still on that.
Russ says, I would say nothing to do. I mean, he's the president of the entire organization, but if you think he's making free agent calls, you are badly mistaken. I talked to Russ the other day. He was in the building. He was working out. I said, were you in Indy? And he said, nope. I mean, Russ, you know, Indy is where all of this started at the combine. Didn't go. Do they consult him? Yeah, here's the money we're spending. Here's the guy we're getting. But if you think he's making the calls, you are badly mistaken. It is, as an earlier tweeter pointed out, Sean McDermott, Doug Whaley, his staff, and, you know, the cap guys, Jim Overdorf, and those guys are doing, I think, a pretty decent job of filling in the planks with what they had to work with, which was not much going into this period.
Not much at all. Talking about money-wise, they didn't have much to play with, and they've signed 8 guys and structured the deals the right way so that they can get them all under contract, you know, and you've been able to bring back Lorenzo, you know. So it's I think they've done a good job thus far with what they have to play with. They're still out there looking. As you see, there are guys who are coming on visits and all of that stuff. And I think it's going to continue for probably next, you know, week or two. And then you'll end up moving into the draft, you know, and then they're probably going to – there might be some action on draft day as well, you know. Like we talked about, we only have 6 picks. So you might see this team trade down, trade back, and pick up some – you know, get some more picks. Maybe you'll end up like the Cleveland Browns and have 26 picks. No, I'm just kidding. But you would like to see this team pick up – get some more picks. If they can do that, man, they would probably be the most underrated offseason – because the guys that they're bringing in, the money that they had to play with, if they can get all these guys to play at a high level, we'll be talking about next year, this was a good free agency class.
We'll find out. It is a process, and the process is ongoing. And we're asking you at this point, what, 5 days into free agency, what kind of a grade you would give the Bills? What do you like what they've done? What you didn't like what they've done so far, if there's something to that? And what you want to see them do next? 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Here's a call from Tom in Buffalo. Hi, Tom. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I would probably give them a B or maybe a B-minus at this point because they're filling a lot of holes and they're doing it on the cheap. And I'm very impressed with that. And I believe it's McDermott making the calls. Now, the question I got is Philly Brown. Is he a number two or a number three wide receiver? And if they do want to go to the power running game, and we need a number two legitimate tight end to do that, even if we don't have the wide receivers, another tight end would do it. Can we afford, is his name Jared Cook from Green Bay? Mm-hmm. And because I heard Detroit wants him too. Can we afford to get in a bidding war and afford to pay him on top of Clay?
Two good questions. Corey Brown, we don't, you know, we're kind of spitballing here, number two or number three. I think, Donald, you and I kind of agree that in a perfect world, Corey Brown would be a number three. Philly Brown, right?
He's never been a number two wide receiver. You know, it went down in Carolina. He was never considered as a number two. He was a guy who came in, he filled in, he was like their number three and their number four at certain times. You know, he played a lot on the inside, worked the middle of the field. You see him running some routes down the field. But what you don't see from him is, you know, him just like running past guys, you know, and I think that's what you need out of a number two. Your number two wide receiver is a guy who, if the number one goes down, like there shouldn't be a huge drop off. You're like, man, we don't have somebody who can make plays for us. And that's not this guy. This guy can make plays for you, but he's not going to be your number two wide receiver. So, no, I think they're still going to be out there looking for a solid number two through free agency, if not through the draft.
And we'll see. I mean, they've got a receiver in today. The draft might be the avenue that which they get a good second wide receiver. We're going to, again, this is all the process. He asked about the tight end Jared Cook, who is in the free agent market. He had talked, I guess, linked with the Bills in some quarters, linked with Green Bay. Still out there, right?
He's still out there.
SpotTrack has an average annual salary in their calculated market value at $3.4 million. And the, you know, their market value, they say, is 4 years, $13.7 million. I don't know if the Bills can handle that. I don't know.
I don't know either. I'm not sure exactly what they have left to spend. It doesn't seem like a high number for really a good tight end. I mean, he was making plays out in Green Bay for Aaron Rodgers, you know. So if they can get him in here, that would be huge in this offense that they want to run, that zone rushing scheme, more of a power type of offense. But you need to have two tight ends that can both get down the field because you have play action. Those guys are running a lot of crisscross patterns in the middle of the field, and you need two guys that can get down the field. And we all know, you know, Tyrod has had his limitations with throwing over the middle of the field. So if you get – now you have two big-time targets that can work the middle of the field and tight ends, that would be huge for Tyrod's progress.
Here's a call from Alex in Rochester. Hi, Alex. Go ahead. You're on the air with us.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Good.
Love the show. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to give the Bills a ranking on their offseason. I'd give them about a C, maybe a C+, maybe a B. I think they stretched at Micah Hyde a little bit. I think they overpaid him, where they could have got a couple more players to play that position or fill a couple more roles that they want him to do. I'm a Panthers fan, so I love the Philly Brown pickup. I think he's going to be an underrated wide for them next year and can really help Tyrod. I'm excited to see what they're going to do in the draft. I think re-signing Tyrod really showed that they were looking for DBs or maybe go a wide receiver in the draft. I don't know if they're going to go Williams because they all know how the Sammy Watkins pickup came when they drafted him out of Clemson. So it's going to be fun to see. But thanks for taking my have a good day.
Alex, before you hang up, you still there?
He's still there. Alex, you still there? Can you hear us? No, he's gone.
He's gone.
Hung up.
Oh, I wanted to ask him. He said he was a Panthers fan, so he probably watched, you know, Corey Brown play. I wanted to see what he thought of Corey Brown. I mean, he gave us a little bit, but I wanted to see, has he ever been a guy that's really been asked to be their number two wide receiver or even possibly number one? Because if you remember, 2 years ago when Kelvin Benjamin went down, I mean, they had nobody. And they had, like, a Corey Brown who was on the field for them making plays because it was like, who's going to be our guy now? We don't have a number one or a number two. And the rest of those guys actually filled in with Ted Ginn and made plays for Cam Newton, you know. So when you look at a Corey Brown, you know he's a guy who is fearless. He can step in for you and make some plays for you, and I think that's huge. But obviously, yeah, they still need a number two.
His point about Micah Hyde, I mean, look, we talked about it Friday. Micah Hyde signed a pretty good deal. Mike Jannetty on SpotTrack talked about it. Reportedly 5 years, $30.5 million with an $8 million signing bonus. $14 million guaranteed is really the number you look at. His cap hit this year is $4 million. Next year it goes up to $6.4 million. Micah, they have a need at safety, right? We acknowledge that, right. Number one. And number two, to pry a guy like Micah Hyde away from the Green Bay Packers probably takes a little more money. You know what Green Bay, you're comfortable there, you've played there, you've had success there, you play in postseason games. I'm just explaining why you may get to the point that you think they've overpaid Micah Hyde. Time will tell if he's overpaid or not. He is about the same level, I believe, as Aaron Williams was.
Yeah, he is at the same. I mean, they essentially kind of just, like, replaced the contracts. Mm-hmm. Micah Hyde is a guy who really has – played a lot in this league. He's been able to move around, make plays at corner, make plays at safety, cover in the nickel. He's been able to have success at the punt return game. I mean, for a guy like that, coming over from Green Bay, a team that is usually right around, if not in the playoffs, making big plays in big games, you know, it's tough to get that guy to come without paying him.
Yeah.
And they didn't really – I mean, you talk about SpotTrack, they paid him what? $1 million over what he was valued. I mean, that's not really like crazy overpaying a guy, you know. So I think it was a great sign to get Micah Hyde. If you didn't, you wouldn't have him.
Right.
You know, and I think you needed to have a solid playmaker at the safety position to replace Aaron Williams. Now you can go out and, you know, draft one. Micah can be that free or whatever, the strong free whatever. But he's a guy who's a veteran that could really help a younger guy move around the back end of that defense.
And the fact that you overpay is why you don't want to build your team through free agency.
Right.
You want to supplement what you have. You want to fill holes, address needs, but you don't want to build through free agency. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with more. Want to hear from you. Phone lines open at 803-0550. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Live from One Bills Drive, a lot to talk about. Another signing for the Bills today and a couple of visits. Defensive end Ryan Davis signed to a contract. We'll pick up his news conference at the 2 o'clock hour. And the Bills with three players in for visits today, including offensive lineman Andre Smith, former first-round pick of the Bengals 8 years ago, wide receiver Jayron Elliott, and linebacker Jayron Elliott and wide receiver Jeremy Butler. A lot of catching up to do, Donald. The Bills, late Friday, after we were off the air, released veteran safety Corey Graham, the Buffalo native. Sorry to see him go, but I think they're looking for an upgrade there, right? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's probably – I'm sure the numbers had something to do with it.
Yeah.
But you also – he was getting up there in age, and I guess they wanted to get younger at that position. You know, safety was really a position of need. And so, you saw them sign Micah Hyde. You saw them sign Poyer as well. I would still think that they are going to address and get some more depth through the draft. But like you said, it is tough to see him go because he was a leader on the back end of that defense. He's the one that really got guys. When everything was crazy last year, when, you know, they had 10 DBs on the field and everybody was running around looking confused, he was the one guy that did his best to try to get guys in position. So when you have a guy like that, it's always tough to see him leave, especially a guy who's from here, from Buffalo.
Yeah. There's just a lot of moves to catch up on, and we've got a couple of more hours to do it. Coming up in the next hour, going to look a little bit at the league-wide perspective with Matt Bowen from ESPN, former Bills safety, who has covered the league for a long time and does great analytical writing for ESPN.com. Matt Bowen joins us after the top of the hour. Of course, we'll have plenty of room for your phone calls as well at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. We hope to get Vladimir Dukas, Bill's offensive lineman, in here at 1:30, and then his news conferences from Dukas and Ryan Davis coming up in the 2 o'clock hour. Stick around. A lot more ground to cover. The John Murphy Show, presented to you by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
Update from One Bills Drive. The Buffalo Bills continue to be busy. They signed their eighth player over the last week or so, new player anyway. They agreed to terms with defensive end Ryan Davis, who spent last season with the Dallas Cowboys, a defensive end, 6'2", 260-pounder. He was with the Dallas Cowboys in a part-time role last year, appeared in 9 games, suffered a knee injury in Week 16 that landed him on injured reserve. A steady run defender, he's described as, a guy capable of setting the edge. 3 free agents in for visits with the Buffalo Bills today, including former first-round draft pick offensive lineman Andre Smith. Bengals chose him in the first round in 2009, played 7 seasons there, and was a starter at right tackle for 6 consecutive years. Also in for a visit with the Bills, linebacker Jayron Elliott, an unrestricted or a restricted free agent by Green Bay, now in the open market, strong side linebacker in a backup role for Green Bay. And the Bills also bringing in for a visit wide receiver Jeremy Butler, who comes from the Los Angeles Chargers. Those 3 not signed yet. Around the NFL, Nick Foles returning to the Philadelphia Eagles after a Kansas City stint. An 11-year, $11 million deal, a 2-year deal for Nick Foles, who will serve as a backup to Carson Wentz. Cowboys now not expected to trade Tony Romo. Possible teams appear unwilling to take on his contract. He is 36 years of age. The NCAA tournament field is set in Buffalo, including the Villanova Wildcats, the defending national champions. They'll play either Mount St. Mary's or University of New Orleans Thursday night at 7:10. After that, Wisconsin and Virginia Tech on Thursday night. Thursday afternoon, the tournament in Buffalo starts at 12:15 at the KeyBank Center with Notre Dame and Princeton, followed by West Virginia and Bucknell. And the Sabres out west off to San Jose today to begin a 3-game California road trip. They came back from a 3-goal deficit Saturday to beat Columbus 5-3. Robin Leonard went into the game at the start of the second period and made 24 saves on 24 shots. He was the first star of that game on Saturday. That is the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy and Donald Jones on our show on this Monday. Free agency rolls along. And joining us right now on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, a man keeping an eye on the free agent market. He spent a long time in the NFL as a safety, including a season and a half with the Buffalo Bills. Now an ESPN insider and ESPN writer on ESPN.com. Happy to have a good friend of the show, Matt Bowen, on the Subway Fresh Take line with us. Matt, it's John Murphy and Donald Jones. We thank you very much for joining us here today.
Hey, thanks, guys. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
We're doing great.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, Matt, obviously you played safety in this league, so I have to start off with the Bills signing Micah Hyde and how you feel of him as a player and the Bills actually getting bringing him here.
Well, first of all, Micah's a Hawkeye, so am I. So I'm a little biased, to be honest with you guys. But I'll tell you what, Micah Hyde, the first thing you're getting, okay, before we even get into the skill set, is a guy with super high character. That's going to fit into a team culture. I think that's very important in free agency. We always look at, you know, scheme fits and talent level and the ceiling they can reach. The first thing I look at if I'm a coach is, hey, is this guy going to fit in the locker room? Is he going to make us a better team? Is he going to fit our defensive identity? Is he going to fit our culture on special teams? I think that's the first thing you get with Micah Hyde, extremely high character. Now, what he could do on the field, pretty much everything. I mean, that's the great thing about Micah. And you can see that when you watch his and tape at Green Bay. He can play safety in the deep middle of the field. He can play strong safety. He can roll down over a slot and be a slot corner for you. He can play like a dime linebacker inside. He can blitz. He's an attack on the run game. And you saw this past year in Green Bay, especially in the playoffs when they had some injuries, he walked outside the numbers and said, okay, you want me to play cornerback? I'll play cornerback too. And another thing he gives you guys is special teams. Not only covering kicks, but the ability to return kicks as a punt returner, even if you want to put him back on kickoff return, he can do that for you as well. Now, Micah isn't he's not a 4.35 40 guy. He's probably a 4.4, 4.4, high 4.4, low 4.5 in terms of his game speed. But his football intelligence, his football instincts allow him to play even faster, whatever stopwatch speed you're going to have on him. And I think it's a great pickup. I do. Because where the league is going right now, I don't even think you're a strong safety or a free safety. You're just a safety. Or really, you're just a defensive back, especially when teams deal with their defensive sub-packages and they bring 5 or 6 DBs in the field. You have to be able to do so many things. And I think the number one thing about Micah, going back to what I started with the top, is his high character and how he's going to fit the culture of a winning football team. And he's also coming from a winning program, that means a lot to me.
Yeah, and that's I'm just going to get to that, Matt, because, you know, some have questioned the amount of money the Bills paid to get Micah Hyde here. And Donald and I were wondering just a few minutes ago with, you know, maybe you need that kind of a financial incentive to leave a successful winning program like Green Bay and come to a place like Buffalo. What do you think?
I agree, and I also think that's where the market value is right now on defensive backs. It's going up. Especially safeties, it's going up. And you're going to see it in the top 10 of the draft. Jamal Adams from LSU and Malik Hooker from Ohio State, they might both come off the board. When's the last time we had two safeties drafted in the top 10?
Right.
It's becoming more of a premium position because of matchups, because of versatility. So I think the price is fair. And I also go back to what you just mentioned, John. When you're coming from a winning program, to leave that winning program and go to a program that is rebuilding with a new coach, okay? You want to have those guys in the locker room. You do. You want to have guys that come from Green Bay, that come from New England, that have played in these programs, that have won games and played in playoff settings. I think it helps your football team because they lead by example.
Matt, you talk about the market going up on DBs, and one guy who really got paid was a guy who actually left here and went over to New England, Stephon Gilmore. Mm-hmm. So what do you think about that signing, and what does it do for Butler out there?
Well, here's what I think. I think he's a better fit now with Coach McDermott coming into Buffalo, meaning in New England. I think we're going to see in Buffalo is more zone-based schemes. You see some more cover three, some cover two, and that's fine. But I think Gilmore, what he brings is more of a man coverage corner. You guys already know this. Buffalo fans already know this. So I think for him, in terms of this move and the future of his career, it's a good move to go to New England. We're going to play more man coverage, play more press man. I think he's a great fit for them. I think he's... what you're getting because of Logan Ryan leaving New England and going to Tennessee, you need another press man corner. I think opposite Butler, he'd be great. I don't know what's going to happen with Butler. I don't know if he's going to stay. I don't know if he's going to sign his tender and get traded. We don't know that stuff yet. But right now on paper, what New England have is they lose a player and they replace him with someone else. Again, it is a high price tag. I mean, he got paid a ton of money. I'm happy for him as a former player. Get as much as you can in free agency, right? It is a high price tag, but I think it shows what Bill Belichick and the Patriots value in terms of the skill set they want at corner. They want guys that are physical, they're tackling the run game, and also be able to play press man. So I think it's a really good fit for him going to New England.
It's just funny. You said a guy is physical and help out in the run game.
He didn't do a lot of that in the first half of the season here, Matt, this past year anyway, Stephon Gilmore.
Right. I know that. His tape wasn't good last year. It was down. Yeah. I agree with you guys. I don't think he played his best football last year. There's no question about that. So you go back to when he came into the NFL, out of the SEC, and you look at the tape from then, you look at the tape early in his career, I can understand why New England says, look, he didn't have his best season, but he's a good fit for us.
Right. Now, I guess it also goes to show, like, you know, people wouldn't put Stephon in the top 10 corners in the league, maybe top 15, but to get these types of guys to come to your program, even if you're New England, you know, you have to pay top five type of money.
Right, and that's, you know, day one. Free agency, you're going to pay. You are. There's no question about it. That's why most teams want to avoid it. You know, they want to build through the draft. They want to, when it comes to free agency, spend money in terms of that second and third tier market of free agency, finding guys that can plug into your system, finding guys that create more depth on your roster, finding special teams value, and also building a bridge to the NFL draft. I think that's what really free agency is about. You'd like to build the bridge to the draft. I think a good example, you know, I'm based here in Chicago, is what the Bears have done. They weren't huge spenders on defense, but they got two cornerbacks that can come and improve their depth, improve competition, improve their overall roster. So it gives them a little bit more flexibility going into the draft. Gives them, I guess what I'm saying is it gives them more options to look at different positions.
Well, Matt, since you brought up the Bears, we got to talk about Glennon and the money that he got out there. Do they really feel like he's the man moving forward, or is this a bridge to next year's draft type of thing?
That's a great question because there's a lot of unknowns about Mike Glennon. I wrote a piece for ESPN about Mike Glennon last week. And, you know, I'm watching 2013 game tape, okay? There's guys in that tape that aren't in the league anymore. That's how quickly this league, you know, changes over. But I can see why they have interest in him, okay? He's 6'7". He's got a big arm. He's got natural tools at the position. Now, he has limited mobility. He does not have upper-tier athleticism. I think he ran a 4.94 at the combine. It shows on tape. He needs to improve his footwork. He needs to improve his throwing platform versus pressure. There are things you have to coach up. But I can understand why they say, look, this is the best option for us. If we're going to release Jay Cutler and we have failed to develop a quarterback, that's the thing with Chicago. Any team that's in a position like them, when you don't draft, develop, and create a teaching environment at the quarterback position, this is where you end up, where you have to be spenders on day one of free agency, or you have to go to the draft now and say, look, this quarterback might be a mid-round guy. We're going to draft in the top five because we have a desperate need at the position. Will it work? It's going to come down to coaching. I'll tell you what, I'd love to coach Mike Glennon. I really would, because of those natural tools, because he has a high ceiling that he's not close to yet. You have to develop that ceiling. But the way the contract is structured is it's really a one-year deal. It's a high price tag, too. 1 year for about $18.5 million. And, you know, Bears fans don't want to hear that number. However, again, that's pretty fair market value for a QB1 right now in the NFL. There's only 32 of those jobs in the world. So you're going to pay up for that. And I'm very interested to see how he fits in the Chicago Bears system, what they ask of him to do. You know, you look at John Fox historically with his quarterback. They want to win with defense and special teams. They want to take calculated risks in the passing game. They want to run the football. So can he fit into that? Probably. But you still want to see him reach that ceiling if he can be the future. I don't know if he is yet, guys. I don't know. I don't know if the Bears, does that prevent them from drafting a quarterback? I don't think so. Maybe it does at number three, but I would be really surprised if the Bears did not add a rookie on day two of the draft.
We're on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline with Matt Bowen, who spent 7 years in the National Football League, one of them here in Buffalo, now an ESPN NFL insider and writer for ESPN.com. You've written, I want to go back to the Patriots, Matt. You've written about what the addition of Brandon Cooks means to the New England Patriots, and at the very least, it provides Tom Brady with the kind of target he really hasn't had there in a while, huh?
Yeah, a lot of speed. I mean, that's the first thing that jumps off the table with Brandon Cooks, going back to when he played his college football. Electric speed, electric ability after the catch. You can move him around. He's got some formation flexibility, and you'll see that in New England. And I think what they're going to do is really plug him into their system. And now that creates a lot of stress for opposing defense. With a healthy Rob Gronkowski, which we expect next year, with Julian Edelman, with Brandon Cooks now, with Chris Hogan, with Malcolm Mitchell, I think, has a high ceiling as a young wide receiver. With the running backs, you go to the Super Bowl and you guys see it twice a year with the running backs working underneath the flat, with the running backs on the option routes. There are a lot of weapons for that offense right now, and I think from a defensive coordinator perspective, who do you take away? I always look at opposing personnel, okay, if I'm a defensive coach, who am I going to take away? Is it Gronkowski? Is it Edelman? Now you have Cooks. And I'll tell you what, they're going to create space for Brandon Cooks. That's what they're going to do. They're going to create space and give him the football and then run after the catch. And now from a defensive perspective, that is a lot of targets, a lot of matchups that you have to deal with. But again, you look at Buffalo, going back to our first discussion, that's why you sign a guy like Micah Hyde. This is exactly why you sign a guy like Micah Hyde, to play the Patriots twice a year, to create some matchups of your own. And I think that's good defensive football, good personnel football from the Buffalo Bills perspective when you see what New England is doing.
Matt, who's the odd guy out in New England? I mean, you look at their receiving core. They have a lot of receivers now, and they typically, sometimes they'll only have four receivers on their roster. So who becomes that odd guy out?
Well, it'll be interesting because they signed a tight end, too, out of Indianapolis. So, right. You know, but I think that's what New England wants. I really believe that because they can flip the script so quickly throughout a football game. They'll come out in four wide receivers, or they'll come out in two tight ends. Or they'll take those two tight ends with two wide receivers and give you a spread look when it looks like a 2x2 spread formation because of the versatility of Gronkowski. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what they want. And I've always felt with Bill Belichick and the Patriots, they're always planning for the future. They're always planning for personnel moves in terms of the future. And I think it gives them a lot of options going moving forward in the future. Yeah, there's insurance there. If you get guys banged up, which we all know, players get hurt throughout the course of the season. It gives them insurance for the future. They have four guys at the wide receiver position that can catch the football, that have versatility, have that formation flexibility, that can line up all over the field. And really, at the end of the day, it gives them the most matchup ability right now in the NFL.
Hey, man, another receiver I want to ask you about. You've written about Alshon Jeffrey, who, mm-hmm. you know, has all sorts of, I mean, he looks the part, but the production isn't right there, and yet the Eagles really dove in with both feet there, didn't they?
Yeah, I think that, you know, John, I think they had to, because you look at Carson Wentz and the issues the Philadelphia receivers had last year, just starting with the drops, you know, and the lack of production in key situations. You're talking third downs and red zone. You need guys to make plays for a young quarterback. And I think Carson Wentz has a really high ceiling. I think he's going to be a very good football player. He's going to play a lot of games in this league. But you have to give him some help. I think the reason you go out and get a guy like Jeffrey is, one, the red zone matchup ability. Two, he's a fit for their offense. You know, Philadelphia still runs that old West Coast stuff that you see with Andy Reid in Kansas City. Same stuff I saw in the early 2000s against Andy Reid in Philadelphia. It's the same playbook. Those are deep inside breaking cuts. That's where you want a guy with size and leverage at the point of attack. That's what Jeffrey gives you. But also, you know, we use the term 50-50 throws. Okay, when Jeffrey's covered, you still give him a chance. That's what you saw all the time here in Chicago with Jay Cutler and Jeffrey working together. When he's covered, you put the ball up and let him go get it because he has a massive catch radius. And now with the addition of Torrey Smith, I know Torrey Smith had a down year in San Francisco, their entire football team, that they went through a coaching change. It happened. But he still has that deep ball speed over the top. So now you got two more targets, two more matchup guys to facilitate even more growth in your young quarterback. And I said going into free agency, any move the Philadelphia Eagles make on the offensive side of the ball has to be directed at the development of Carson Wentz. So I think they did a pretty good job.
Hey, Matt, I know you said, you know, they had to spend the money to get Alshon Jeffrey there. But for that price for a guy that really hasn't, I mean, he hasn't shown that he's a number one receiver, you know, maybe like a 1B or even a number two receiver. Did that contract kind of surprise you?
Well, it did, but I think that goes back to what you're saying. It's a one-year deal. Mm-hmm. You know, and it says on paper, 1 year, $14 million. When you look at the fine print of it, it really comes down, I think, one for about 9.5.
Right.
It's still $9.5 million. That's a lot of money. We all know that. But it's 1 year. They're not giving him a full investment yet. They're not giving him a 4 or 5 year deal. It's another 1 year, and then Jeffrey has the opportunity to go to free agency. I think what they're betting on there is there's more availability. I've always said, you guys understand, there's availability in the NFL. Much more important than talent. Everyone can play. Everyone's good.
You
got to be on the field.
Donald just said that about a half hour ago. You're right.
Yeah, you can't be in the training room.
Yeah.
You're in the training room. That was my last year in Buffalo.
Yeah.
I own up to it. You know, I didn't get to show what I had in the field because if you're in the training room, you're not available. Well, first of all, someone else is going to take the job. More importantly, you're not productive. You're not a part of the game plan. That's been the thing with Jeffrey. You know, he's had injuries. He had the 4-game suspension last year here in Chicago. So I think that's why you're looking at a one-year deal. And, you know, people use the term a prove-it deal, you know, a prove-it year, and that's what it's going to be. Mm-hmm. If he wants a 4 or 5 year contract, he's going to have to be on the field and be very productive. But in terms of the scheme fit, working with a young quarterback with a big arm who's going to feed him the football, I really like the fit there. He just has to show it.
Hey, Matt, before we let you go, as we slide into almost the second tier of free agency now, is there anybody that's sticking out there that you think is a great value for somebody coming up?
No name in particular, but, you know, John, I'll say this. This time of free agency, you know, we hit the first couple days and it's all the hype, and then it kind of, you know, kind of loses steam over the weekend.
Right.
This is the time we build your football team. And this goes back to the discussion we had about creating options throughout the draft. You want to find defensive backs and linebackers that provide depth, that can start on your special team. This is a great time in free agency to find a guy who maybe played 7 years, maybe bounced around a couple teams, but is healthy, and you look at him and say, well, first of all, he can be one of the leading productive guys in our kickoff and punt coverage units. That's why we're going to bring him in here. He also provides competition to our roster. He makes our football team better. He's got high character. He's coming from a winning culture. These are the type of guys you find right now that create that competition. So when you go into training camp, it's not just a competition for the top of the depth chart. It's a competition to make the football team. That's what you want. You want guys fighting and battling for that number two role at linebacker, at strong safety, at corner, or if you have a wide receiver that can produce on special teams as well, a physical wide receiver who will block in the run game. The guy will do some things and reduce formations. You bring him in on the goal line, he's going to block at the tight end position. Different guys that play different roles, but ultimately it goes back to that special team value that makes your football team better.
Hey, Matt, two names I wanted to ask you about before we let you go, though. Adrian Peterson and Jamal Charles, when do they come off the board, and where do you think they'll end up?
It's a great question because I think the running back market's very low right now. I think that happens every year. This is a good class coming out, obviously, in the first round, but really, you're going to get a good running back. You can get a good running back in this class in the fifth round of the draft. I think right now what's hurting Peterson's value, one, his age. He's got an injury history, but also in the NFL right now, if you're not a productive player in the offensive sub-package, what I mean by that is third downs. Can you create matchups in the passing game?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and Adrian Peterson is a first, second down back right now. He's a very good first, second down back, but his value decreases because he doesn't bring that impact to your offense on third down where you can create matchups in the passing game. Now, Jamaal Charles can, but, you know, Jamaal Charles, now you're looking at the injury history, you're looking at his age, and also what they're asking for in the market. Same with a guy like Eddie Lacy. Mm-hmm. You know, Eddie Lacy's young, all right? But does he have that value on third down for it? I think that's really where the league is moving right now. We talked about Micah Hyde at the opening about versatility. It's the same at the running back position. So if you have a rookie that's coming out in the fifth round that can also catch the football at 20, 30, 40 grabs in his last year in college, those guys are actually carrying more value right now.
Hey, Matt, thanks for this. We enjoy your work on ESPN, and we love when you come on with us to talk about it. Thanks very much.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Matt Bowen, former Buffalo Bills safety, 7 years in the NFL, now ESPN insider and writer for ESPN.com, covering the NFL. Some interesting recent posts on Brandon Cook and Alshon Jeffrey from Matt.
What he was just talking about before he got off, when he was talking about running backs who can catch the ball out of the backfield, you know, the Bills signed two guys that can catch the ball out of the backfield, fullbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, Tolbert is a different type of guy. He can play both. But both of those guys can catch the ball out of the backfield, and I think that's something that was really attractive to Doug and Coach McDermott.
Yeah, we're going to hear from one of them. Patrick DeMarco did a news conference here on Saturday. We'll pick up that in a moment. By the way, Matt Bowen joined us on the Subway Fresh Steak Hotline, Subway Eat Fresh. Phone call here. Jeff in Jamestown's been waiting a long time. Jeff, thanks very much for coming on the air with us today. We appreciate it.
No problem. How you guys doing today?
Great.
Hey, I got a couple questions. First, I'd like to talk about free agency, and the other one would be the draft. First, the free agency part. Mm-hmm. Do you guys have any updates about Zach Brown or Justin Hunter? And my second part of the question is the free agency. I really like what they've done. I think Corey Brown is a good pickup. And he's not really that slow. He ran a 4.37 in the 40 at the combine. And he's a punt returner, so that's good, too. And I'll hang up and hear
you. Jeff, before you hang up.
Okay.
Do you know a guy named Jay Harris?
Jay Harris. I've heard the name, yeah.
Okay. I was just checking, man. You know, our producer, Jay Harris, is from Jamestown. And I try to – everybody who calls up from Jamestown, try to see if they know him.
No, I don't know Jay Harris.
Check the police blotter.
Yeah, yeah, you might see him on there.
Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks, Jeff. an interesting question. Zach Brown, the Bills haven't signed him. We don't even see reports of any visits for Zach Brown. I get the sense, Donald, that he is not coming back here, and eventually he'll find a home in the NFL, I think. But it doesn't appear to me, and based on what we're hearing around the building, that it's going to happen here for him.
You know, Zach might be on another one-year prove it type of thing. You know, it's gonna be interesting to see exactly when he ends up coming off that board. But you know, he could be a guy who's sitting on the couch waiting until, you know, mini camps and until training camp, really, till something happens. You haven't heard anything on Zach Brown right now. Like, no visits, nothing about him, you know, and it doesn't seem like he's gonna be coming back here. Maybe he would come back here if there's no market value, if there's no market for him. That means you can get him at a much cheaper price, and a guy who is fast, a guy who can really help you out on the weak side. So, you know, maybe he does end up back here. I think it's going to be interesting to see where he ends up.
And we haven't heard anything either on Justin Hunter, who had good red zone production for the Bills, and haven't seen his name pop up either in relation to the Bills or anybody else just yet.
Well, I did see on, you know, last week, Pro Football Talk, they were talking about him going on a visit to New England. But
that's
obviously,
right. I did see that too.
You know,
right.
Now that they have signed every receiver in free agency, I don't think they're going to bring him in. He's going to be another interesting guy. You know, he could end up back here. Obviously, you're not going to have to pay big money to get him. So it's going to be interesting to see where he goes.
We're going to be in studio in a couple of minutes with Vladimir Dukas, new offensive lineman for the Bills, and we got questions for him. The Bills, of course, with the big two fullback signing that everybody got excited about in a negative way last Thursday. One of them was here Saturday, Patrick DeMarco, who just came off a Super Bowl appearance with the Atlanta Falcons, did a news conference here on Saturday. Patrick DeMarco talked to the media about coming to Buffalo and why this was a right fit for him.
There's a lot of talent here, and I'm super excited. I've kind of want to continue to take my game to the next level, and Buffalo just seemed like a great place to running backs and everything here, there's a lot of talent, so just hopefully take it to the next level.
Get the chance to block for LeSean McCoy has to be appealing, huh?
Yeah, I mean, watching him on tape, it's can make you miss in a phone book. He's super talented and so versatile. It seems like he can do everything, catch them on the backfield, blocking. I'm sure he'll make me look good here, which will be good too.
Beyond blocking, what do you offer to the offense in terms of receiving?
Yeah, you know, I did a good bit of third down protection stuff in Atlanta these last few years. Catch the ball in the backfield. It's, you know, it doesn't happen much, but when your opportunity is called, you have to make plays. So, yeah, I mean, ball's thrown, make a play, make a guy miss. Do whatever I can to kind of better the team. And when an opportunity is called, I'll hopefully make plays.
Patrick DeMarco signed with the Buffalo Bills, and we talked about this a lot late last week. Totally different than Mike Tolbert. Don't be confused, the fact that they have two fullbacks. I don't see those guys. I don't know. I don't see them anything like each other. Who knows if both of them are on the roster when they line up?
Exactly. I mean, that's what – the one thing I try to tell people is right now you're looking at everybody who they're signing. But, you know, some guys might not be on the roster. Like, you don't know what's going to happen when camp comes around. I think you always need to sign – you need to get depth. You need to have depth for camp, you know, so that you have great competition. The best competition, it will bring out the best in everybody, you know, and you can really separate who's going to be on the team and who's not. But if you have guys who are, like, clearly above everybody else, there's no competition.
Yeah.
So in camp, you want to have competition. I think that's what they're doing right now.
All right, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, Vladimir Dukas, what do you call him?
Big Dookie.
He's going to be taking that seat right next to Donald over there, and we'll talk with him about coming to the Buffalo Bills. In the 2 o'clock hour, Dukas will be at the podium along with the Bills' new defensive end. We got a lot going on here today, and we're glad that you're part of it. Come back for more of the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones in our One Buffalo studio in front of the AdPro Sports Training Center. And Bills have been busy. We talked about it. 8 signings in the last week or so with a lot of talent coming in, including our guest who joins us right here on stage with us. He is an NFL veteran who comes to the Buffalo Bills after spending last season with the Baltimore Ravens. Happy to have offensive lineman Vladimir Dukas in studio with us.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, Vlad, welcome to Buffalo. When talking to the coaches and Doug Whalen and everybody, what they say to you?
Pretty much, you know, they're excited of me being here, and it's just and just, you know, understanding my position. You know, I know they already have 2 great guards, mm-hmm. and it's like just coming in, you know, just to compete and, you know, hopefully, you know, and fulfill that, you know, backup roles. But you don't want to come in to be a backup, but you just you want to compete, yeah. Mm-hmm.
We were talking, and I think you've just cleared that up, about what they had in mind for you. Interior offensive line primarily, not outside at all?
I mean, you never know. I mean, they haven't talked about it, but, you know, I mean, as an offensive line, you got to be expected. I mean, for me, I played tackle in the past, so just expect the unexpected. But, I mean, but center is not my position. So,
stay away from center.
Have you played left or right tackle?
I play mostly, getting the NFL, I play mostly right tackle,
Okay. Hey, Vladimir, I'm surprised we've gone 2 minutes into the interview and Donald hasn't brought up the famous go-kart incident.
Oh, yeah. You know, I know if you want to talk
about it. He was
talking about
it all last week.
I mean, you know, we can talk about it. I mean,
what happened?
Well, it was one of those things, you know, it was during the lockout, if I can remember.
Yeah,
you were there.
So you had all kinds of free time.
So we had free time. We said just working out in the morning and just go-karts in the afternoon. And, you know, and so whenever we go there, and it was Bart Scott, he'll bring us there. And they'll close, like, they give us our own lane because, you know, they don't want to pretty much get sued by anybody.
Right.
So it's like just the football guys
right.
on their own lanes. And instead of racing, everybody want to bump against each other. It's like football all over again on the racetrack. So we all drive in. Now it's like and Donald and Bart was like, you know, the 2 leading, always winning. Then and David Harris came into the addition, so everybody's driving. So I'm taking this turn, and I'm going really fast. And David Harris in front of me, and somehow Bart squeezed in there and bumped David Harris, and David did like a 360. So I'm coming out my turn real fast, and David Harris just like right in front of me. It's either I go through him or it's like I go to the left. But I know we knew we needed David Harris for the season.
You took the loss for the team.
So I took an L. So I just took that hard left turn and just went under every tire, everything of my neck just hanging on the side. Thank God I was wearing a helmet, though. So
you could have T-boned David Harris's cart.
Yes.
You elected, as you said,
yeah,
to take one for the team.
Yeah, I mean, I'm 340 pounds, right. So it's like, I'll be fine.
Some force. Yeah.
Yes.
Man, that fast, too, he made that decision.
How dangerous was that, by the way? You guys the whole thing, the whole.
It was, and the whole, like, everything, like, all the tires came up. It's like, everything just followed me, and it's like. And I didn't realize, and the whole time I'm going under everything, I'm like, oh, I think I should take my feet off the pedal now.
What made it even worse, and we'll get back to the interview, what made it even worse, Bart had a guy from GQ one time come, right, from GQ magazine. And he ended up racing, right? And so we're racing, and this dude crashes and ended up breaking his arm on the, like, he went through the entire thing and broke his arm. It was like, what? It's terrible.
Good times.
All good times, yeah.
Vladimir Dukas is in studio with us. John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. A couple of things about your background we should get to. You were born in Haiti and emigrated at, what, 14 or 15?
14 years old, yeah.
Stamford, Connecticut.
Yep.
What do you remember about Haiti? And, you know, it's pretty, we're talking to Lige here over the last year or so, it's pretty difficult there, right?
Yeah, it's pretty difficult. I mean, obviously, it's like there's, you know, parts that's like, you know, I know a lot of people go vacation. I mean, I was born and raised in Port-au-Prince.
Right.
But, you know, there's like and the main, you know, where a lot of people are having difficulties, I think, is in Port-au-Prince because, you know, people live like what you guys call here, like the countryside. People live that, you know, farmers and all that stuff, thinking they're going to get a better life in the capital. But once they get there, it's like. You're just competing with everybody else. Yeah. Right. So you were better off, like, you know, staying, you know. But, you know, that's a hard part, you know. And, I mean, I went back for the first time since I came last year. And you know, a lot of stuff had changed, you know. But one thing I was happy to see that they are rebuilding, you know, they're fixing the road, you know, houses are up. So that was pretty exciting to see.
The one thing from talking to Lige, who's a native of Haiti as well, his foundation, right, Donald, actually, what they're trying to do is to get the materials in place to help Haitians build permanent residences withstand earthquakes and you know, have them build on themselves rather than just send a bunch of money and put up tents.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, for me, it's like they're just doing it, which is good because you want to be there, and if you donate, you want to see the product being built itself instead of sending money, and it's just like and people still living in tent, and you know. And one thing is that my grandma, she does a lot of work, but she doesn't have an organization. It's her and my wife. You know, they're pretty hands-on with everything they do. So they're like, you know, helping people, you know, build their houses, and, you know, churches, all that stuff.
And your family's still there, right?
My grandma's still there. I mean, her house came down, but she was in the house, but, you know, she was fine. Thank God.
And the earthquake.
Yeah, during the earthquake, but my house was still standing, so thank God for that. So
now, were you able to speak to her when the earthquake happened?
No, I mean, that's right around I was getting ready for the draft. Mm-hmm. So when the earthquake happened, I think within a couple of days I was leaving for the Senior Bowl, and I didn't find out. Like that night, I remember that night everybody was like, you know, texting me, "Are you okay? Are you good?" I'm like, "Why is everybody texting me?"
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I got workout the next day. I was training.
Sure.
So, and then the next morning, my agent, Joe Lenta, came and was like, "Have you seen anything that's been going on?" I'm like, "No." Then he explained it to me, and it was on the news. So that's what I found out. Yeah. And I didn't talk to anybody for like 2-3 weeks. Yeah.
Wow.
Vladimir Dukas is our guest. Tell us about the process that brought you to Stamford, Connecticut, and then eventually to UMass to play college football.
Yeah, because my dad, you know, very big on education, you know, and it's like growing up himself, you know, always hitting the books. And his thing was like, you know, you go to the state and get an education. And, you know, and he was really pushing for us to go to college, especially because, you know, you have a degree in the United States. It's like, that's a big thing. So we move on to Stamford to stay. We live my uncle. But somehow, you know, just started playing football because, like, you go from, you know, the Caribbean, the way they teach at school, it's like So you wake up at 7, 6 in the morning, and you're not done until 5 p.m. Hmm. So over that course, you have like, and you carry in the backpack, you have like 12 books. Yeah. So over that course, you have 12 different classes. So when I got here, it was different.
Yeah.
It was, I don't want to say easy, but that's why it was like, hey, I'm done with my homework. What am I going to do with all this time left?
Yeah.
So I was pretty advanced in like math and a couple of stuff to the point they put me as a sophomore in high school.
Okay.
So by the time I got there, it's like, then I just started like playing basketball and football, and next thing you know, it just, the rest is history. Yeah.
And obviously you were always bigger than everybody else.
Oh, I mean, I've been the same weight ever since high school. So,
wow.
Yeah.
I read somewhere where, in your years at UMass and the NFL scouts were coming by to take a look at you, Victor mm-hmm. Cruz thought that he benefited from having all those scouts come to look at you.
I mean, I wouldn't say that, because Victor was at UMass. I mean, if you see this guy play, Victor Cruz play at UMass, that was it's like a one-man show. It's like, right. And it's because that's why I was so happy to see him doing well with the Giants, because like everything he did with the Giants, he was the same thing. I've seen this man make people miss like crazy during the game. And it's like, I'll black for this man, and the quarterback will throw the ball to him. And it's like, just sit down, eat your popcorn, because he's scoring that touchdown. So he was one of those kind of receivers.
Now, ever since that year when you guys came out, I mean, UMass has been putting him out every year, most recently Tajay Sharp.
Another good, great receiver. And, you know, I know he got drafted, and I've heard like other kids, picked up free agency, but a lot of kids more, you know. Ever since I feel like UMass been talking about moving to 1A for a long time, right. And ever since it did, you know, more and more people started going there. Ever since Victor Cruz came out, it's like more and more receivers. I mean, at UMass, our receivers class has always been strong,
right?
So it's good to see, yeah.
Hey, Vladimir, you're getting set for what, your eighth season in the NFL?
It's my eighth season, yeah.
Yeah. Where are you in your career right now? I mean, you've had good years with the Jets and some of these other teams. What do you think the future looks like for in the NFL?
I mean, you know, for me, it's always getting better. And one thing, my game, with the Jets, first couple of years, I struggled a little bit. And it's like, I always thank God, because when I got to the Ravens, with Coach Castillo, our new O-line coach, it was he really helped me. So he pretty much sat me down, explained, because he's like, he's a coach, but he's also a teacher, and everything he does is like, learning what's this guy's weaknesses, and his biggest thing is to stay square. And he actually taught me how to stay square. It's not just saying it and you go learn it by yourself. He's just saying, he's showing you, and he's teaching you on the field. And if you have to go 5 miles per hour until you go 100 miles per hour, he'll do that until you get it. So, really, last year my game kind of picked up another level, and thanks to his coaching and stuff. Yeah.
Now, the last time I talked to you was might have been it's some years.
Yeah, a while
like
ago.
Five years or something like that.
Yeah.
You didn't have a family yet.
Nah.
And now you have a family.
Yeah,
so.
Married. I got a son. I met my wife. I've known my wife ever since I was 14 years old, because I met her in church. I was real close to her grandma, her and her mom, and they both passed away. So that was kind of hard on us. But we got married. I got a son, a little man. He's gonna be 2 next week.
Wow!
He's already this height. So it's nice to see. Like every day I wake up and it's like, you somebody calling you daddy. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? It's just cool, man. It's cool. It's exciting.
So, will they be coming?
I mean, they're here. They're actually here right now. So, wherever I go, they have to go, because that's my support system right there. So.
And you are based in New York these days.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hey, it's great to have you here.
Thank you.
We followed your second-round pick of the Jets in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of knew about you and followed you along these many years. It's good to have you here with the Bills.
Yeah, and play against you guys too, against Kyle, Marcel. So.
You know, it's funny because when I was down there training, it was a bunch of Jets players and some Giants players. I was the only person from the Bills.
Yeah.
And so Jamal Westerman was down there. You remember Jamal Westerman came up here.
Yeah.
I used to talk about the Bills, and they used to be like, man, go ahead. You up in Buffalo.
Yeah.
And now to see him here, it's just funny.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool, though. Hey, that's a business win, man.
Yeah. Who's a bigger handful to block, Kyle or Marcel?
They both are. I mean, I'm glad I'm here, so I don't have to lose sleep before the game.
Yeah.
But I play against when I was at Jets, I play against Kyle and both of them, and it's like they keep you on your toes. Yeah. I mean, you cannot like take a minute, like a second, like okay, I'm gonna take this playoff. It's like, I mean, when Kyle goes on the other side, you have to deal with Marcel.
Right. Mm-hmm.
When Marcel goes on the other side, you have to deal with Kyle. So it's like it's one of those things. I'm just glad I'm here now. So
yeah, we're glad you're here too, Vladimir. Yeah. Thanks for coming by here. Yeah, we appreciate
thank you.
Vladimir Dukas, Bills' new offensive lineman, signed in free agency just last Thursday, joining us here in studio. Back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. We are live at One Bills Drive, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. John Murphy, Donald Jones. You just had Vladimir Dukas in studio with us. Vlad, I think he said it's okay to be calling him Vlad, right?
Yeah,
you know him. You call him Dookie.
That.
I don't know if he was
down
with that.
You know, that's kind of an inside thing, even though I let it out.
It's not inside anymore. It was good. It was good talking with him. An interesting backstory, an interesting take on various things, and it looks like he's here to at least provide depth on the offensive line at the guard spot, right?
And that's good. I mean, you know, first of all, when you have an offensive line, you never want – like, you want your offensive line to be intact all year. If you look at the teams that are usually in the Super Bowl or in the playoffs, deep into the playoffs, their offensive lines have been intact the entire season. Once you start to have to sub in and out different guys, you know, it gets a little dicey. It gets tough, but – when you have to have still good depth, right? So you know you have Groy, a guy who can fill in everywhere.
But don't we have Groy?
Right.
He didn't sign.
He hasn't signed his?
No, I don't think so. I don't think he signed his tender, did he?
Well, so there you go. So now we know Vlad already said he can't play center. So if you don't get Groy back, you know, you're going to need a backup center. But you got to have depth all over your team, and I think – that's what they're looking at right now. They're just trying to add depth and get guys who will come in here and compete. You know, Big Dookie, Vlad, he has his history at Juan Castillo, so Castillo knows him, and that's a good thing, you know, for him. But I think when you look at this team and you look at it all over the all across the board, you just want to make sure that you have depth so that even not for just this year coming up, but future years, if somebody's not here, you have a guy who can step in that you might not necessarily have to pay.
Yeah, just double-checked on Groy because, you know, the weekend happens and the Bills are making so many moves. But, yeah, he has not signed his tender, got the lowest restricted free agent tender, mm-hmm. would make $1.8 million approximately from the Bills. And reports like from Adam Kaplan from ESPN that Groy has run interest from at least four other teams. So mm-hmm. we'll see if Ryan Groy comes back. But, yeah, it's a depth move. There's no question about that. We want to get back to our Twitter poll and spend a lot of time in the – third and final hour talking about this and get your thoughts on, you know, the Bills free agency so far. 8 signings from in the last week, 7 of them unrestricted free agents. Yes, some players have left, most notably Robert Woods, Marquise Goodwin, and Stephon Gilmore. How would you grade the Bills free agent moves so far? You can vote on Twitter. We've got more than 900 votes in. Right now, more than half of you give them a B. 57% of you say the Bills have earned a B in free agency with still more time to come. 29% say I'd give him a C. 8% give him an A. 6% give him a D. I guess you can go an F if you want.
I mean, yeah.
Give us a call.
You know, if so many people have him at a B, I want to know what would put them up to an A if you have them graded at a B. So definitely call up.
You know what would put me from B to A? I'm at B. The tight end, Cook from Green Bay. Can they do it? That would put my grade on them at an A. I don't know if they can handle it.
Jared Cook is a good tight end.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, he's made a lot of plays out there in Green Bay. That would be a great signing. If they could have him and Charles Clay, guys that can get down the middle of the field for you and really attack and like work the middle, they can also get all the way down the field, though, like be deep threats. That's huge for Tyrod Taylor in this play-action type of offense.
You know what else might bump him up? A good wide receiver, and I know you have a wide receiver in mind, right?
Yeah, I mean.
We talked about it.
I've actually had people tweet me about it yesterday, Kamar Aiken. I had a good chance to talk to Kamar yesterday, and people were tweeting me like, hey, man, you like talk to your boys. Sell them on coming to Buffalo. And I'm like, hey, man, it's out of my hands. I don't have anything to do with it right now. You know, Kamar, he would love to come back. Obviously, this is the team that brought him into the NFL. He would love to come back. Just got to see how it goes. I know that, you know, he works a lot with Tyrod Taylor down in Atlanta, and that's a good thing. You know, if you could bring a guy like Kamar here to have him partnered up with Tyrod, a guy who they work together almost every single day in the offseason, that's huge, you know. So moving forward, it'll be interesting to see if they can make that happen. Obviously, you've seen the rumblings of him talking with the Bills. Not sure if that's true or not, but, you know, just got to see.
And the fact that Tyrod works out with him might indicate there's some familiarity that would maybe push him in this direction.
That could.
Push the Bills in this direction,
you
too.
You know, people want me to sell him. Push Tyrod to sell him.
We'll find out. Hey, we got a lot more to talk about. We're going to hear from Vladimir Dukasa at the podium in the news conference coming up in the next hour, and maybe get a chance to hear from the new defensive end Ryan Davis as well. So come on back for that. We want to get your thoughts too on the Bills and free agency so far, just 5 days in. Phone lines open 803-0550 or toll free 1-888-550-2550 or via Twitter at John Murphy Show. We're coming to you live from One Bills Drive, presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
Update from One Bills Drive. Bills still busy in free agency. They've agreed to terms with defensive end Ryan Davis, who comes to the Bills after spending last season with the Dallas Cowboys, a product of Bethune-Cookman. Came into the league as an undrafted free agent with the Jacksonville Jaguars in 2012. Ryan Davis, the newest Buffalo Bill. Three free agents on a visit visiting One Bills Drive, including offensive tackle Andre Smith, the former first-round pick of the Bengals in 2009, played seven seasons in Cincinnati and helped the Bengals win three division titles. Played four games last year with the Vikings before going on injured reserve. Also in for a visit by for the Buffalo Bills today, wide receiver Jeremy Butler, who was with the Chargers, and linebacker Jayrone Elliott in for a free agent visit. Over the weekend, the Bills made some moves, signing wide receiver Corey Brown, Philly Brown, who comes over after spending the last three seasons with Carolina. Corey Brown signed to a contract by the Bills. Nick Foles is going to return to the Philadelphia Eagles on a two-year deal worth $11 million, $7 million guaranteed. He will be a backup to Carson Wentz there in Philadelphia. The field is set for the NCAA tournament. All 68 teams, including the Buffalo bracket, where the action starts Thursday. Top seed in the East, the defending champion Villanova Wildcats, coming to Buffalo to play either Mount St. Mary's or the University of New Orleans Thursday night, 7:10 p.m. After that, Wisconsin and Virginia Tech. Thursday afternoon, the tournament in Buffalo starts at 12:15 at the KeyBank Center with Notre Dame and Princeton, followed by West Virginia and Bucknell. And the Sabres take to the road for a three-game California road trip off to San Jose today. They came back from a three-goal deficit Saturday night to beat Columbus 5-3. Goals from Buffalo from Jack McCabe, Matt Molson, Sam Reinhart, Evander Kane, and Jack Eichel. Sabres on a three-game California road trip. And that's the update from One Bills Drive, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, John Murphy and Donald Jones. We just got done with Vlad Dukas. He is at the podium across the way in the media room answering questions. Let's listen in and see what Vlad Dukas has to say to the media here in Orchard Park.
It is. I mean, going to Baltimore last year, I didn't know what to expect. But one thing I know, I mean, when he's talking about working, I mean, we work and we even put up overtime. So I mean, none illegal now, but it's just like, well, we working, and I'm sure like those guys here, they'll appreciate the same thing. But it's none like, you know, trying to like make you tired or anything. It's just like teaching and working, do it over and over again till, you know, you feel comfortable enough. Yeah.
In terms of competing for a starting job, mm-hmm. Do you expect that to happen just at guard or maybe at right tackle as well?
I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, in my head, you know, I'm mainly playing guard, you know, playing the NFL. But then again, it's like I was Chicago 2 years ago in a situation where they didn't know if it was going to be guard or right tackle. So you kind of expect the unexpected. But thank God we had Kyle Long, which is pretty versatile and all that stuff. So it's like once you have that title O-line, you know, you just be ready for anything. Well, for me, except center. So, yeah.
Last time you really practiced that tackle?
Man. I mean, you know, I've played around with it. So it's like, last year I didn't have to do that because Baltimore and especially Coach Castillo, because we had a good depth at tackle. But when I was in Chicago, I practiced it with Coach Dave, Coach Mags. I actually practiced it a little bit just to be ready, you know, because you never know. So.
Seeing the
Seeing this team finish first in rushing each of the last 2 years, tops in yards per mm-hmm. carry, what impact did that have on you when you were kind of evaluating this opportunity?
That got me excited because, I mean, a guy like me, my strength is, you know, the running game. I'm an offensive line, and you in the NFL, you need to know to pass block too, but my greatest strength is the running game. So seeing this and the great running backs they have, and good quarterback, and it's like, it got me excited to, you know, come here because it's like, all right, those guys are men business. They're running the ball. I mean, when you run the ball, a lot of stuff will go your way. So, yeah.
You grew up in Haiti, correct?
Yes.
What was your exposure to American football before you moved here?
It was mainly soccer, so I did a little bit of soccer, basketball. So, but I've only I really learned to play the game when I got here. When my high school coach, he really invested a lot of time in me, Kevin Jones, and he's I remember being in high school, and he told me I was ahead. So when I first came in the state, they put me as a sophomore. So you know, I was like 3 years. So I was 16, turning 17, about to graduate. Then he was like, if you stay one more year and let me teach you, I promise you, you'll get a scholarship. And that's what ended up happening. I got a full ride to UMass, and he wanted to teach me the basics. So when I got to UMass, really, that's when I really got, you know, the full understanding, yeah.
So when you moved from Haiti to Connecticut,
yes.
right, and live with your aunt and uncle mm-hmm. there, did you, what part of you thought that this was even possible, that there was a football American football future in front of you? What kind of thoughts did you have as a young person moving here?
I mean, you heard talking about it, but my main thing was like, because I was tall, so it was just basketball. And my dad was like, you going here for your education, and you know, you go to college, you know, get your education. But and somehow along the way in high school, because I was, like I was saying earlier, I was you're in Haiti, you go to school, you don't start till like 7, you're not done till like 5, 6 p.m., and you're carrying a backpack of like 12 books, and it's like you got 12 different classes. So when I moved here to the States, that was different. I was done early, so I had a lot of time, so I needed to do something. So ended up started playing basketball, then football, and football was more interesting. They just kind of cut up by itself, yeah.
Always O-line? Did you have any other?
Well, it was O-line and D-line just because of my size, but that was about it, yeah.
Anything else,
guys? Do it. All right. No problem. Thanks, guys. Yep.
Thank you, Vladimir Dukas. We just had him on set here a moment ago, and then he goes to the podium, answers questions, reaffirms the fact that he is primarily an interior offensive lineman, is flexible enough to play tackle. The one thing he's made clear, not only has no interest in playing center, which is fine. That's fine.
Said it twice in 15 minutes.
Not a center.
Not a center. It must be that hard, man, to snap it and then have to get up there and block. It's a total different ballgame.
Here's a call from John in Arizona. Hi, John. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
How you doing? I think the Bills free agency is terrible. Oh, they pick up Tyrod Taylor. They have five fullbacks now. They don't have a legit 2 and 3 receivers. I think Doug Whiteley wants Taylor to fail.
How do you figure? How would that benefit him?
Well, I'm just saying, what's he doing about the receivers? I mean, that's his biggest – same thing like last year. That's what happened. We had no wide receivers for him.
How would it benefit Doug Whiteley for Tyrod Taylor to fail?
Just for the fact, I don't think he wants him to succeed.
How would it benefit him for him not to succeed?
He's doing a terrible job.
How would it benefit Doug Whiteley? Last time I'm going to ask this question. How would it benefit Doug Whiteley for Tyrod Taylor not to succeed? How would it benefit him?
Not picking up any receiver?
You're not answering my question. They have picked up a receiver, by the way. How would it benefit him to have Tyrod Taylor fail? Hello?
They have no legit 2 and 3 receiver.
Not answering my question. You want to engage?
Not really. No. listen, I think we always forget that right now, and John and I were just talking about this, you know, as time moves on, there's still a lot of receivers out there that people tweet me about. They should sign this guy. They should sign Cordell Patterson and whoever else is out there. As time moves on, the team gains more leverage against all of these players. And so ultimately you want to get the best players at the cheapest price, right? So you know, I would think that they're probably going to end up signing another receiver, and then they're going to draft one. They're going to draft one, I would think, fairly high. If it's not in the first round, I would think in the second round or third round, you know. So you could be talking about your number two wide receiver coming out of this draft. So, you know, you can't just say, oh, it's terrible. We need a receiver. Like, there are other positions on the team. There were a lot of holes on this team, and they've been doing a good job at filling those holes right now.
Look, you know? John in Arizona or anybody, you can argue. You can give the Bills whatever grade you want, and you can say the free agency has been terrible. That's fine. We can discuss that. You have a hard time convincing me that it benefits Doug Whaley for Tyrod Taylor to fail, which is what John asserted. You think they need a wide receiver? Well, they have signed one. They have signed one, right? Corey Brown yesterday. They have another one in for a visit today. Do they need a receiver? Yeah, through the draft or free agency, they do, which gets you to the cost of bringing on a number two receiver, let's say. Corey Davis, I think most of us agree, right, is probably a number two. We just spent a couple of minutes in the time before the hour talking about Kamar Aiken, who would be, I think, a viable number two receiver that they may be able to get to a price that they like, Donald, right?
Mm-hmm. I would think so. I mean, if they're talking to him, they're trying to work out a price. And any other receiver that they're going to bring in here, they have to make sure it's at their price. If it's not, if they bring in another guy and he's not your number two, like you said, Corey Davis or Mike Williams or whoever else you take early in the draft, because I do think they're going to take a receiver early in this draft, that guy is probably going to be your bona fide number two wide receiver on this team next to Sammy Watkins. So, you know, you can't just look at it and be like everything that they're doing is wrong because they haven't made a big splash and brought in a receiver. Receivers cost a lot of money. They cost number two receivers right now cost $10, $12 million a year, and they just don't have that type of money. So they're trying to work with what they have money-wise and bring in the best guys at that number.
I'm trying to find a list of the top wide receivers available. Anybody come to mind, Donald? Stevie's out there. You indicated Stevie's probably not going to play anywhere.
Right.
Cordarrelle Patterson? Yeah. Can you afford him? Can you bring him in? That'd be an interesting signing for the Bills.
It would definitely
Justin Hunter,
be interesting.
We talked about him.
The thing is, and we've seen this with them, first of all, hiring Coach McDermott. You've seen this with him hiring his staff. Everything that they do, it's going to take time. Like, they are not just quick to make decisions like that, right? So, like I keep saying, the longer it draws out, the longer these guys are out there on the market, the team has leverage over them to say, listen, you've been on the market this long. This is what we're going to give you. And a guy, typically, if they're sitting out there, they're going to take that, especially if this is the only team that comes at them, you know? So, like, you have to just understand this stuff takes time. They are not just making decisions like that. I mean, how far are we into free agency now?
5 days, right? Thursday. Well, it started at 4 o'clock Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Not even 4 days in, quite frankly. Things started happening, you know, contact on Wednesday. So 4 days in at 4 o'clock today, a couple hours away.
So, I mean,
it's a process.
It's a process, and it's a drawn-out process. I understand that. But don't expect this team to make any more splash signings. It's just not going to happen.
Right.
So the people that they end up signing, I mean, I don't even know if you're going to be satisfied with it.
Do they need a receiver? Absolutely.
They do.
Through the draft, through free agency? Absolutely, they do.
I think, to be honest with you, I think at this point, your number two, your bona fide number two wide receiver is going to come through the draft. Even if they sign a guy like Kamar, he can be your number two receiver, but I would think that, you know, he would be like 2B or number three wide receiver on this team, and they would still draft one to be your number two.
We'll take your grades on the Bills free agency so far. You can vote on Twitter. You can ring us up. Let us know what you think. 803-0550 or toll free 1-888-550-2550. It is a process. It is ongoing. It'll be 4 days in. Am I right? Friday, Saturday, Sunday? No, 5 days in at 4 o'clock today, right? Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Friday at four, Saturday, four, Sunday. It'll be four days in. At 4 o'clock. 4 days in. So still some moves to make, absolutely. Give us a grade so far as we move into the, you know, maybe the next phase of free agency. But if you're going to say that Doug Whaley wants Tyrod Taylor to fail, you're going to have to defend that, right?
You definitely can't throw something like that out there. If Tyrod Taylor fails.
Tell me how or why.
If Tyrod Taylor fails, Doug Whaley fails, and Doug Whaley loses his job.
Yeah.
So that just doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make a whole lot of sense at all. Let's take a call here from Bob on a cell phone. Hello, Bob.
Hi, guys. I give him a B-plus so far, and if they sign Andre Smith or if they sign a tight end from Green Bay, they get an A-plus in my book. And as far as the draft, I want O.J. Howard so bad here. I hope they don't go past him. If he's even available, I think he's going to be a top 10 pick. That's my opinion.
Well, they are number 10. They're in good position in the draft to get
get a guy like O.J. Howard. Yeah. I think you're in a good position.
Or Corey Davis. Do you think Corey Davis slips to 10?
Or Mike Williams, if you like Mike Williams. You know, I think one of those guys is going to slip to 10. Because
what do you think of O.J. Howard? I think he's the next maybe Gronkowski.
It's hard to – man, I think he's very athletic. I think he's a guy who really can get down the field for you and be like, you know, one of these tight ends that's catching all types of touchdowns for you. Compare him to Gronk is tough. It's always hard to compare somebody to, like, a great player in this league already because they haven't stepped foot in the league yet, you know, so just don't know. In college, I think he's good. I think he can be a good tight end. I just got to see how it translates to the NFL.
Right. Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Bob. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Jonathan calling from Alden. Hello, Jonathan.
Hey, John. Hey, Donald. I give them a solid B because I love what they do. I love what they did with Tyrod Taylor. I don't buy the BS about them wanting to fail and Tyrod just can't fail. I think my only complaint would be that we only signed too many fullbacks, but I love what they did with Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, that has a lot of people scratching their head. And
the fullbacks?
Yeah, the two fullbacks. Mike Tolbert.
How many times we got to say it? They're
the two totally different players. You know, Mike Tolbert is a guy who he can play fullback. He can also play running back, you know. So he can be like your third string running back for you if Mike Gillisley wasn't here. And it's not looking like the running back market isn't robust right now. So, you know, chances are, as of right now, Mike Gillisley is still on this roster. He's your number two. Mike Tolbert can at least compete for your number three spot at running back. And if something happens with the fullback, Mike Tolbert can step in and be your fullback.
And I look at it, it's all situational. Mike Tolbert, DeMarco, it's going to be all situational, I think. That's the way I would look at it. Here is Greg in Rochester. Hello, Greg.
Couple things. The last guy was talking about O.J. Howard. I hate that pick at 10. I remember the last guy compared to Gronkowski was Eric Ebron. We were going to draft him, and he was going to be amazing. But tight ends just tend to take a longer time to develop. We got, Nick O'Leary in the system as a number two tight end. I say just stick with him instead of wasting the high pick and developing a guy.
Just stop you there for a second? I am inclined to agree with you, Greg. I am not a big tight end, unless there's a special player. And look, Gronkowski was a second rounder because of his medical issues. It takes a really special tight end for me to go top half of the first round for a tight end, just in general. And I don't know that O.J. Howard is that special type of tight end. Donald?
I mean, O.J. Howard is a guy, I don't know how complete he is. I know in the Senior Bowl is something that he wanted to really show that he can block. You know, at Alabama, I don't know. You know, at Alabama, he did a lot of catching for them and scoring touchdowns. So, obviously, yes, in this league, you're passing the ball a lot. But in this offense, we know they are going to run the ball. They're going to be I don't want to say run heavy. You want them to be more balanced, but you have to be able to block. And so I don't know, man. To take him at number 10, I'm not even convinced that the Bills are going to stay at 10.
Hey, you had another point to make, Greg, I believe.
Yes, I did. Number two wide receiver. I know everybody wants one, but I think people got to understand that number two tight end in this offense is not an appealing place for these free agent wide receivers. They might be pushing offers, and the guys are just holding out. I mean, think about it. We have Watkins is a definite one. Clay is probably number two, and then you have McCoy coming out of the backfield. Who wants to sign up to be a fourth option in an offense that doesn't pass the ball? I think, you know, these guys are looking for their careers, and, yeah, they'll settle if there's nowhere else and they can get dollar, but if I was any of these guys, I'd be waiting. I remember thinking we don't need to spend money on a number two because our offense goes without a number two wide receiver being a stud.
Yeah, there's some valid
offense, it's not appealing for him.
Yeah, you make a valid point, Greg. I don't agree entirely. I will say this. I think one of the reasons why – two things. One of the reasons why many of us are interested in a number two wide receiver is because of the way the injuries decimated the Bills' wide receiving core last year. I mean, they got down to street guys, you know. Brandon Tate, they got down to street guys. They had to line up and play at wide receiver. And with that in the back of our mind, it makes us think, oh, they need a wide receiver.
And especially the injury to Sammy.
Yeah.
You know, and him even having surgery this offseason, right after the season, you know. So you don't know how that's going to react moving forward if he can stay on the field for a full season. So that's why we all talk about a number two and a number two being like a solid receiver who can be a number one if Sammy can't play. But I just feel like, you know, the guys who are out there right now, first of all, time will continue to tick on. The team will get more leverage, and there are receivers in this draft that can be your number two wide receiver.
The other thing Greg said, which I really think has validity to it, is that any receiver knows that Sammy Watkins is going to be the guy,
mm-hmm.
the targeted number one guy. In fact, there, you know, some evidence that maybe that's what made Robert Woods and maybe yes. even Goodwin look around and say, hey, I know I'm never going to be the guy in Buffalo. Let me go test my game somewhere else.
There are certain offenses where you just know, like, you know, that guy's the number one guy. He's always going to get, you know, 10, 12 targets in a game, you know. So it really limits what you can get as a player. And to be honest, players want to be the best. Like, regardless if people look at you as a number two, they look at you as a number three, you look at yourself as a number one. And so you want to be able to ball out just like Sammy Watkins. So even if you go somewhere else like Marquise or like Robert Woods and you're not considered the number one, if you know that offense spreads the ball around where you're still going to get your targets, that's something yeah. that you look at as a wide receiver, you know, as any position. Like, you look at who's on the team right now, who might be in front of me, what type of system, how do I fit in? Will I be able to play right away and make plays? If I'm a linebacker, this system is designed for me to eat up blocks. I want to make tackles, you know. These are things that guys look at. So, yeah, receivers know in this offense, Sammy Watkins is going to get the ball. When he's on the field, he's going to get the ball.
Yeah.
And it's hard.
And the fans know that, too. In fact, if he doesn't get the ball, people saying –
people get upset.
Right? Here's a call from Ken in Rochester. Hello, Ken. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi, guys. Totally disagree with that guy about Whaley wanting him to fail. It makes no sense because it would cost Whaley his own job that yeah. he's still hanging on with by fingertips. So that makes absolutely no sense if the guy thought it through logically. But my question for you was – where are we, or where is Hunter? I mean, I would like to see Hunter come back. I thought he was progressing. He was a great touchdown threat. He, at the end of the season, looked like he was opening up more across the middle, being his height and his reachability. It looked like, you know, to me, that Tyrod was starting to rely on him a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And maybe I thought there was a little chemistry there developing, especially around the red zone. But do you know anything about where he is as far as free agency?
You know, do we answer your question? I'm going to let – I think Donald has already perfectly articulated this. Where are the Bills with Justin Hunter? Waiting him out.
Yeah.
Getting his price down, don't you think?
I mean, that's
and you know, do you jump on Justin Hunter and worry that he's going to get away? Probably not. He was out on the open market there on week two last year, week two or three. But there's going to come a time when they get to the right price point, and that's when they'll probably jump on a guy like Justin
Hunter. One of my questions was because I know that New England had brought him in and was looking at him as well, too. And you know,
probably information planted by his agent. Maybe he made a visit, maybe he didn't. I don't know. But
right. And I'm just
it's a game.
From what I saw on the field, that maybe they're really interested in bringing him back because I think he'd make a great third receiver.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think he definitely has some skill. He has the height. He can jump. He said he can grab a dollar off the top of a backboard. So you always want to have guys like that around. But like you said, you got to get him at the right price. And let's not forget that a lot of times, you know, a team might offer something and the player is like, I'm not ready to take that yet. I still want to test it out and see.
Yeah.
You know, and
it's a chicken. It's a game of chicken.
It really is. Like, just because guys haven't been signed doesn't mean that the Bills are not actually out there looking for guys. I mean, they're looking, but players wait. They wait, you know. Like, I think something else can come available for me. And what happens is that something else doesn't really come available. And then you have to, as the player, settle and say, you know what, I'll do a one-year deal at your number. And that's what ends up happening, you know. So, listen, the Bills are working. They're working. They're out there working right now. They're trying to get receivers, I'm sure. They're trying to get maybe a linebacker, I'm sure. But it has to be at
their
price.
Looking for a right tackle. They brought one in today, a former first-round pick.
A right tackle. It has to be at their price, though.
Here's a call from Wendy in Jamestown. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, how are you?
Great, thank you.
Thanks for taking my call. I just want you to know that I know – Jay Harris.
Yes. Yes. Finally, we got somebody.
Do you want to go into detail, Wendy, or are the details maybe left better unsaid?
Better not.
Oh, now I really want to know. How well do you know Jay? Let's put it that way.
Not that well.
Okay.
Right. Well, at least you know him.
I actually have worked at Jamestown High School for over 23 years.
Oh.
And I remember when he was a high school student.
Uh-oh.
Whoa. And what sort of a student was young Jay, Wendy?
Exciting. What's that?
What sort of a student was young Jay Harris, our producer on the show?
Well, I think he was he
troubled. Is that what you're going to say?
Well, you know, if he was in trouble, he was kind of one of those that always got away with it. He knew exactly what to do to get away with things. And Murph, I have to say hi to you because my daughter Megan did an internship with you several years ago.
Where? Here? Channel 7? Channel 4?
Channel 7. Megan. And she's now out in California loving life.
Okay.
Wow. Look at that.
Wendy, that's great. I'm glad you kind of – Donald, for how long have you been here? 7 months now?
Yeah.
Donald's been wondering about Jay's Jamestown roots. Nobody knows Jay Harris. Yeah. I wonder if I thought it was an alias. Maybe he was like in witness protection or something.
Well, see, what you people don't realize is Jamestown's bigger than you think.
I know Jamestown. Donald has never passed through Jamestown. I know Jamestown.
Oh, well, Donald, you need to come and see Jamestown.
You know, I'm going to have Mr. Young Jay Harris bring me down to Jamestown. Maybe he'll show me his old school. We can come and see, you know, where he got away with different things.
I'll go with you. We'll stop at Southern Tier Brewing down there.
Let's do it.
Yeah, Jay?
Yeah, Southern Tier, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Wendy, thanks. Thanks for clearing up the Jay Harris mystery. So we know that he does, in fact, have Jamestown roots. We were worried about that.
We were.
We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We may hear from the newest Buffalo Bill, defensive end Ryan Davis, in the final half hour of the show. Anyway, we'd like to hear from you at 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-552-550. The John Murphy Show, produced by Jay Harris, presented by Napa Auto Parts. From Oneville Drive, this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones, got a half hour to go. We may or may not hear from Ryan Davis, the defensive end, signed to a contract by the Buffalo Bills today. He is scheduled to meet with the media in the media room. Hope we can, if he speaks, we will pick up that news conference, obviously. And that is part of the news of the day, which we should review. The Bills agreeing to terms with defensive end Ryan Davis, who spent last season with the Dallas Cowboys. Before that, Jacksonville, described as a run-setting defensive end. Three more free agents visiting Buffalo today, including offensive lineman tackle Andre Smith, former first-round pick of the Bengals. Also visiting today, a wide receiver, Jeremy Butler, who comes from the Chargers. He was not issued a tender offer by the Chargers. 12 NFL games under his belt. And linebacker Jayrone Elliott, who was a restricted free agent from Green Bay and now on the open market, a strong side linebacker. That really, am I missing anything? We've had news over the weekend, obviously, but the weekend stuff, you know, about Corey Brown signing, Lorenzo coming back, Jordan Mills coming back.
I mean,
that's about it. I'm just trying to make sure we haven't left anything.
You know, when you look at, obviously, Davis, they signed him. A run-setting defensive end. They have another one in on a visit today. It's looking like that, you know, they want to make sure that they have some edge guys for that 4-3 defense. You know, you have pass rushers, but you have to be able to stop the run as well. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's something that hurt the Miami Dolphins. You know, they had a bunch of pass rushers, but nobody who could really set the edge and stop the run for you. And so, you know, it looks like that's a position that they're really looking at. Obviously, the right tackle position is something that they're looking at, and wide receiver. And we keep saying they're not going to make a big splash. They don't even have the money to make a big splash anymore. You know, they didn't have the money to make a big splash going into free agency. Now they definitely don't. And now they're at the point where they're just going to keep on gaining leverage on these players.
Receivers, obviously, at the front of our mind and some of our callers, we want you to phone us in with a letter grade on the Bills' free agency so far and discuss it with us. And some of the names out there, Cordero Patterson we talked about, Kamar Aiken we have talked about, and maybe some possible interest from the Bills, Michael Floyd. And a new name today, and an old new name, Anquan Boldin, is going to come back and play for a 15th season, according to ESPN's Jim Trotter. He's just spent 1 year on a one-year deal with Detroit, played in all 16 games, 67 catches, 584 yards, 8 touchdowns, 3-time Pro Bowler, up there in age. I don't know his age. Oh, he's 36 years old. I love Anquan Boldin. I have for about 7 or 8 years. I think he's been an outstanding player, but 36 would scare you away, wouldn't it, a little bit?
It would definitely
but
scare you
finished
away.
Finished the whole season with Detroit?
Right. He finished the whole season, 8 touchdowns, you know, 60-plus catches. I mean, it's hard. You can't even say, like, your production fell off. I mean, the yardage wasn't there, but he's still catching the ball and scoring touchdowns for us, you know? So,
would,
you know,
he would be a number 2.
He would, at this point, probably a number 3.
Okay.
A guy who's just really helping you out in the slot.
2/3
Yeah, 2/3 I would think he's, because he's, you know, he was never really a fast, fast guy. And now he's really up there in age, so his speed is,
right,
you know,
yeah, not a speed
so
guy.
I would think he's probably your
red
number
zone target.
Yeah, red zone guy, and really helps out in the slot game for
big
you.
Big body guy.
Mm-hmm.
I love that signing if they get there. How much money would he command?
That's the biggest thing. I mean, yeah, you know, is he willing to – he probably – coming back, I mean, does he want to go back to Detroit? It would be a great signing if you can get him. But like you said, what type of money is he asking? I mean, he is Anquan Boldin.
36 years of age. We'll see. Here's a call from George in Jamestown. It's Jamestown Day on the show. Hi, George.
It is.
Hey, Murph. First of all, I'd like to compliment you on the great job you're doing since Van Miller passed away, and I really think you're doing a great job.
Thank you, George.
Number two, I think as we've signed Taylor at quarterback, I still think the linger of a quarterback is still going to be needed. And I would like to see the Bills not pass up on Sean Watson of Clemson. To me, Watson could be, I think, as good as that, I can't think of his name now, the rookie quarterback with Dallas.
Dak Prescott.
He'd be up to par with him. So I think Sean Watson could be a long-term answer.
Yeah, I mean, Deshaun Watson is you know, he's a guy who's really – nobody really knows where he's going to go. Obviously, everybody thinks that, you know – well, a lot of people think he can go in the top 10. He has the talent to go in the top 10. But when you talk to so many different people, some people have him in the top 10. Some people have him late first round. Some people have said you shouldn't take one quarterback in the first round this year. We all know quarterbacks will end up going in the first round because teams need them and they reach for them. But you just got to look at – you know, with them bringing back Tyrod Taylor, and you only have 6 picks, does it really make sense to take a quarterback in the first round when you still need talent everywhere else? You know, and that's just something that you kind of got to be realistic about. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I'd be surprised, but, you know, I haven't really, to be honest, we've been so focused on free agency the last week or so that I haven't really thought or I haven't really been able to dive into what the Bills think of Deshaun Watson. That obviously is what the key is here, right? And I don't know if they view him as a, you know, you hear people, outsiders, a lot of them, Polian, Mayock,
yeah,
people who follow the draft pretty closely say, not Greg Cosell, these are not top 10 quarterbacks, maybe not even real first-round quarterbacks
and
in
if,
this whole class.
If you just signed Tyrod Taylor back and you really only have 6 picks right now in the draft, it just doesn't make sense to take a top 10 quarterback. That's like a real waste of a pick.
They're going to have to add a quarterback or two to the roster, and they should be on the lookout for a franchise quarterback. I don't know that that guy is in this draft at any spot. 803-0550, the number, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550, or via Twitter. Our Twitter poll is up, and we've got a few minutes left, and you're welcome to join us on the Twitter poll. We got more than 1,000 votes cast on Twitter on this simple question, pretty basic. Grade the Bills' free agent moves so far. What grade, what letter grade would you give the Bills for their free agent moves 4 days into free agency? Right now, with 1,000 votes in, 56% of you give them a B, 29% of you give him a C, 8% give him an A, and 7% give him a D. You can vote lower than D if you want, or you can let us know. Call us up at 803-0550.
Well, we already had one person call us up and let us know.
Yeah. We can engage, yeah. Or it's 4 days in. It's a process, and we're in the middle of the process now. That's our Twitter poll. 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Let's go to John in Rochester. Hello, John. Welcome.
How are you doing? As far as the free agents, I'm looking at the safeties they signed and the fullbacks, and the big thing is versatility. This is more of a vote for the coaching staff. With a versatile team, the coaches can have more of an effect.
Right.
So I really like that. I give them a B, maybe a C, until they prove what they have. As far as the draft, though, I really think the Bills are looking at the top wide receiver, the top cornerback, and the 3 top safeties. If they don't get those 5, how much can they pick up by moving from the 10th spot down to, say, the mid-20s? Thank you. I'll listen, hear your reply.
Murph, I'll let you – well, I can talk about it as well. But, you know, to his first point about versatility, that's something that Coach McDermott talked about in his press conference. You know, he said, listen, the guys that I bring on this team are going to be versatile. They're going to be able to do a lot of different things. And it's really shown in the people that they've signed thus far. You know, it's guys that can really help out in special teams. You know, some of these guys, not just in, like, making tackles, but actually in the return game, you know, along with playing safety, can play nickel, can play corner. On the offensive side of the ball, you talk about the fullbacks. Mike Tolbert, who can play fullback, running back, he's returned kicks in his past. He can help you out in special teams. This is what we're talking about. People look at it and say, well, you signed two fullbacks. Well, you know, we need help on special teams as well. We need help in other areas of the team. So I think what they're doing is smart right now, and they're working it. They're doing a good job at getting the right pieces at the right prices.
Here's a call from John Paul in West Seneca. Hello, John Paul.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
Good. I was just giving a call in. I graded a B on the Bills so far. I feel pretty good about what they're doing. They definitely added a lot of pieces. Not necessarily the big names that everyone else wants to hear, but I think quality depth guys that are very versatile, like you guys kind of been talking about. I guess to hit on moving me from a B to A, I think Andre Smith, right tackle that they have in for a visit, would be a quality guy that would bring in good competition, possibly start at the right tackle. Mm-hmm. And I think as a wide receiver, I really do like Kamar Aiken. I liked him when he was with Buffalo. We didn't get a big taste, but I think biggest thing is his number drops, really, like the last year, was due to the fact of Pitta in Baltimore coming back healthy and getting 86 catches, and Pierman coming back healthy from his rookie year. So his numbers dropped, but I think with he could be a definitely number two on the Buffalo Bills. And see that.
You know, as far as Kamar and his numbers, yeah, his numbers dropped off because, you know, Mike Wallace was there. Steve Smith, you know, when he came back, Steve Smith was going to be their number one wide receiver, you know, and then they had, Pierman as well, you know. So with those guys, Kamar was their number one receiver when everybody got hurt, and he produced for them. And then they all came back, and they were like, all right, we're just putting you right back to special teams. That's why he would not go back to Baltimore. He was like, they're not trying to give me a shot to play at all. You know, so he's looking for an opportunity to be a guy on a team, not just on special teams. He's willing. He knows he can do that, but a guy who can play an offense. And talking to him yesterday, did I sell him? Yeah, I told him, like, listen, you know that there is nobody on this roster, really. And he was like, yeah, I know that, you know.
So you're recruiting Kamar Aiken for the Bills?
I just talked to him, you know, just talked to him.
Excellent.
Yeah, you know.
Anybody else?
Nobody else. Just Kamar. He's the only one of these receivers that I really know personally. I can talk to about that. But I would say he would be interested in the Bills. The Bills just have to get him at the right price.
Right.
And, you know, all parties have to be happy with it.
The caller also made a mention. What his earlier point was, it was a good one too, I thought, about the versatility, right? And that's important to what they're signing here today. Obviously, some versatile players, and we'll see how it plays out. It's important to note that we are in the process here of free agencies, right? We're just in the process. We're in the middle of it. Jeff calling from Syracuse. Hello, Jeff. Welcome.
Hi, guys. I enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My comments is about the free agency. I'd like to grade them a B. I'm pretty happy with what they've done. I'd give them a B plus to an A if they actually sign Andre Smith, just for a simple fact that just as a depth signing, and you battle for quality line depth and battle for the right tackle job. And as far as the draft goes, the wide receiver I like is the one out of Western Michigan. I think he's the best one in the draft. That Corey being
yeah.
At number 10, I'd like to see him, the one guy that doesn't get mentioned too often, which I'd love for him to get, but if he's taken or if he's still there and all these other guys are there, I'd like to see him move down and gain more picks and still pick up one of these guys. But I really like Reuben Foster, the linebacker.
Yeah.
In this defense, you got to be able to run side to side, and he's the best linebacker in the draft for that.
Interesting. Does Foster add to an already crowded field with Preston Brown and Reggie Ragland, though? And
Now, Foster is a guy who can – he definitely comes downhill, but I think he can – he's a little bit more athletic than those guys and can go sideline to sideline, right? So the question just always you have to ask yourself, and they can do this because he is that talented, do you want to put a rookie at your weak side guy, ask him to cover running backs out of the backfield, ask him to cover possibly a Rob Gronkowski or whoever else you have to cover week in and week out? That's always the question because – you know, I, obviously, we don't study the college game that much. I haven't watched Alabama film like that. So I don't know if he was asked to cover anybody at Alabama, you know. So that's always the question. Is it a great – I mean, if they drafted him in the first round, they need a Will linebacker.
Does Foster's recent escapade at the combine affect
I don't think that's going to hurt him at all? I don't think that's going
to hurt him. Here's something we wanted to talk to, and we're running out of time here, but over the weekend, really kind of the worst possible situation for a draft prospect, Pro Day at University of Washington out in Seattle, and one of the top prospects at corner, Sidney Jones, came up with a very serious injury, right? He tore his ACL, I believe.
Achilles.
Achilles, that's right. He tore his Achilles, and – you know, this comes in a workout, and he's trying to put his skills on display. That's a tough one, Donald, it's for tough. A guy who was projected as, what, top half of the first round anyway.
Yeah, it's tough, you know. An Achilles injury is all – that's one of the hardest injuries to really come back from, even if you're young. Yeah, it's usually a year. So if you he's gonna drop off in the draft. Obviously, he's not going to drop that far, but it has to be to a team that, you know, has somebody right there on their roster already, and they just – drafting this guy for the future, you know, projecting him out for the future and not like, oh, we need a corner right now to come in and start right now, you know. So it's a tough – I think the worst part about it is it was literally his last rep of his pro day, you know. So it's like that sucks.
He was regarded as one of the top cornerback prospects. Todd McShay had him as the number 13 overall prospect, Sidney Jones. Mel Kiper had him as the number 16 overall prospect. Top half of the first round, now what? Second round, third round, as you said, somebody could look at the future.
Yep. I think that's what you have to look at. So he's going to lose a lot of money, and that's what really
– That stinks.
It stinks.
We're going to break. We're going to come back and talk a little bit more about the Bills, and you're welcome to join us at 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
The John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from today's show?
It's presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. We had a good show today. I don't know why I sound surprised about that. But we did, including the lowdown, Lorenzo Alexander, who over the weekend, Saturday, agreed to terms on a new contract with the Buffalo Bills, and we talked to Lorenzo Alexander about securing his future here with the Bills.
Definitely wanted to try to get the best deal for myself. Was able to do that with Buffalo, and me and my family will be taken care of. So, obviously, this is a great – I look at it as a great starting point, vantage point, because nobody at the age of, you know, starting back at 22 to this time makes this type of money on the average. So this is a great head start for me and my family, and I'll continue to work when I'm done. But definitely pleased what I was able to get out of it money-wise, guaranteed money. And the biggest thing, though, was Sean McDermott and the whole defensive staff, belief in my ability to come in, contribute on defense, and continue my role in the locker room. So that's what I'm most excited about, and be able to play ball next year and get us off this playoffs night and be able to make the playoffs this year and play for a championship.
Lorenzo Alexander coming back to the Buffalo Bills. Also, we had one of the newest Buffalo Bills on the show in studio with us last hour, Vladimir Dukas, offensive lineman, veteran who comes to the Bills to play on the interior of the offensive line. Here's what Vlad Dukas had to say to us.
They're excited of me being here and just you know, understanding my position. You know, I know they already have two great guards, and it's like just coming in, you know, just to compete. And, you know, hopefully, you know, and fulfill that, you know, backup roles. But you don't want to come in to be a backup, but you want to compete.
Vladimir Dukas, newest Buffalo Bill. Our Twitter poll today dealt with the free agent moves. Four days into free agency, the Bills adding eight players to the roster, seven of them unrestricted free agents. Our Twitter poll so far, 4 days in, how would you grade the Bills free agent moves so far. We've got more than 1,000 votes in, and the final tally right now, about 56% of you say they get a B on a letter grade. 28% say give them a C. 8% say give them an A. 8% say give them a D. I'd give them a B. Donald, what's your letter grade?
You know, I think I'd have to give them a B right now as well. I think, you know, most people are looking at the big picture, and that's why you have that B grade. Obviously, we had one caller that called in today and said basically an F. So I'm sure there are a lot of people some people who feel like there's an F, but they're doing a good job right now.
I think they're doing okay. Let's see. Long way to go. We might even have that poll up for you next week, too, as a couple of more moves are made. The Bills, with the move today, signing defensive end Ryan Davis. Unfortunately, he has yet to take to the podium, so we didn't get a chance to hear from him. We'll hear some of what he has to say tomorrow. And three free agents here on a visit, including a former first-round draft pick, offensive lineman Andre Smith, who was a former first-round pick of the Bengals back in 2009, played seven seasons there, started at right tackle, got hurt last year, and he's in here for a visit. We'll see if that turns into anything. Wide receiver Jeremy Butler is in for a visit today, and linebacker Jayron Elliott in for a visit.
If they were to sign Kamar Aiken, it would be an A.
Be an A in Donald's book.
Because he's my boy.
Get to work on that. Hey, thanks for our presenting sponsor, Napa Auto Parts. Find your local Napa store online at NapaOnline.com. Our Entercom board op today is Brayton Wilson. Production assistance from J.J. Torito, George Blast, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Onlander, James Donovan. Producer Jay Harris produced today. We'll see you tomorrow at 12 noon from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.